జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధానంద సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోవ గోవిందాన శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి హేమనమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గోర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ నమాం శుభదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతే అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయమత్రేత్ర త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీవ ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమ సర్వౌవంశదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్ససుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతడాజేద్రతజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వథామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్యుందిరివేస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదైక్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయందీయం సామగాహ ధ్యానావస్థితద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యందీయం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ ఊర్ధ్వమూలమథ శాఖ అశ్వత్థం ప్రాహురవ్యయం చందాంసి యస్య వర్ణాని యస్తం వేద స వేదవిత్. సో ది ట్రీ కాల్డ్ దిస్ సంసారం ది వైదిక కర్మం what is spoken due to that Vedam actually allows the samsaram to exist in a way that explaining what is dharmam, what is adharmam, right? One who has understood the samsara vriksham, that's what we were discussing yesterday, that the it has its effect on people different levels. Like we say about Ramachandra, what we talked about, right? Internally Ramachandra is in the spiritual state, but externally he acted as though he is affected by the samsara, material life, right? Material existence, right? So, when Ramachandra started crying after Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana, And when Ramachandra cried like that, many people felt so concerned about Ramachandra's state, and they mentioned that Valmiki should not have presented it in that way in the Ramayanam, because Ramachandra suffered heavily after Sita Devi's abduction, right? But the thing is that, is it not possible to be in a balanced state externally, even when things happen in this life, right? The argument, that is why Krishna is saying here, if there is enough vairagyam in life, it is possible. That's the conclusion. If vairagyam is not sufficient, then knowledge will not be effective. In other words, if there is vairagyam in a person, his upadhis, upadhi means mind, intelligence, senses, they will all, won't create any trouble if there is vairagyam. If there is no vairagyam, they will all come and give you trouble, even if you have spiritual knowledge. Vairagyam and jnanam goes always together. If there is no vairagyam, any amount of spiritual understanding is not going to be of much help, because in upadhi you have got all these problems. And it is upadhi withdraw from the world, means vairagyam, right? You got to have certain fundamental understanding of this world itself, right? For example, the distress in this world, nobody can get rid of that. We have to come to that understanding first. Distress in this world is permanent. It will come all the time, one way or the other. And you won't be able to eradicate that, the distress of this world, right? So therefore, whether you are a jnani or you are a jnani, you are a realized soul or a ignorant soul, as far as distress is concerned, it is equal to all. Everybody will have that, right? So a jnani or a realized soul, he can give up his wife, children, family life, everything. Or he need not have to accept them even, right? But he has got a body, isn't it? He has accepted a body altogether already. So the body is there. And great personalities who didn't have a family, who didn't have wife, children or any other entanglements, even they had to suffer through in this world through their body. Body has given them trouble at the end, right? And even though they gave up everything else in this world, they didn't have a home, they didn't have a family, they didn't have other dependents on them. In every way they are withdrawn from the world, but ultimately the body caught them. Body gave them trouble at the end, right? So Ramana Maharshi says about his own situation that he came to Skandashramam first, and in that is one of the locations in Tirunavale. He stayed there for some time, and then people started following him. They came up to him and they started living around him. And he didn't have an ashramam even at that time. He was on his own, living alone in that forest. So when he wanted to do that, by chance the ashram was built up by the people who came around. They decided that they need to have some facilities together to live with Ramana Maharshi. And therefore they built an ashram around him. So he was saying that, what can I do? I left my home, my mother, my family, he wasn't married, but all other members of the family, and I came here on my own to practice my spiritual life. But even when you give up that, something will come back and start surrounding you. Something will build up like that. Yeah. So somebody asked this question that, should I give up my family life? Maharshi's reply was, it doesn't work like that. That's not the way it is, he said. You are talking about giving up your wife and children, but look at my own situation. I have given up everything and I have come here, but this is my condition now, that all these people are around me, and they have decided that they want to have an ashram around, and they have set up an ashram, and now the whole thing has become like a family again. So when you try to escape from one family, another family comes around you. ashram. So that is, he calls it as niyati. Niyati means destiny. It is destiny, right? And this is why many great personalities, Narayana Guru also had the same problem, that he has installed temples, deities, everything. But in all those places, there had difficulties that who should be allowed in the temple, who shouldn't be allowed in the temple. So his answer was that some of his disciples had, they were from all different communities, and they all wanted to be in the temple, and he had difficulties with that. Some people had difficulties with that, right? So Narayana Guru says at that time, this is the sobhavam of Prakriti. Prakriti sobhavam, it is like that. If you cut a branch off, again it will start sprouting. It will start sprouting, right? Just like our hair. You cut it, it will come back again. So that is the nature of Prakriti. You can't do anything about that. More you deny things in this world, the more you will get entangled with it. So Prakriti dharmam, or the way Prakriti functions, that functioning of the Prakriti, nobody can change it. That is the way the Prakriti works, right? So what one has to do is know the Prakriti and its Prakriti, its nature. Knowing Prakriti's nature, able to give up that, is called Vairagya. Knowing the nature of Prakriti and become leaving Prakriti that way. This is the nature of Prakriti. Prakriti, you won't be able to escape from Prakriti. Prakriti will come back. But knowing well that is the very nature of Prakriti, able to stay away from Prakriti, is called Vairagyam. Vairagyam is that, right? So earlier we said that when you have proper Vairagyam, there won't be any fear inside. You won't be fearful about anything. Just like people have these thoughts in their mind, I have to do this, I have to improve the conditions of the country, or improve the conditions of this world, or improve the conditions of the family, or trying to think that I have to improve the conditions of my health. All these kind of things, even if you think like that, it will not give you any peace inside. That itself will become a burden. Because all these things, your body, this world, your country, your family, is not in your control. It will not follow your desire. Or in other words, whatever you are planning in your mind, it will not work. This understanding, that is Prakriti. Understanding Prakriti means that. Understanding the nature of everything. You think that you are in control of your family life? No, you're not. It will happen in its own way. You won't have any control over it. Same thing with your body. You are thinking that I will do this, I'll do so many things and keep this body fit forever. That's all illusion it is in the head. It will not work that way. So knowing these things and withdrawing from that endeavor is called Vairagya. Knowing the nature of this body, the nature of the world. People have all kinds of ideas in their head how they want to change this world, improve the conditions of the world, make everyone spiritual. That's not going to happen. Prakriti controls everything. Prakriti won't allow you to do that. If you try to do something here, something else will pop up in another form there, somewhere else, right? So because all these things will not agree, will not surrender to your will. You may have your will, but these things won't come under your will. You will not be able to control them at all, including your body, your mind, everything. But we won't accept that. Our ahankaram inside won't allow that. Ahankaram will keep pushing. Let's see what happens. I'll give it a try this way. I think so. So there was one person who was a sick person, and he had a lot of willpower. This is coming from the willpower. And he was very steady in his life, practiced everything very in an orderly way. And he followed the naturopathy treatment, yoga and everything. He did all that, right? And he succeeded in curing some diseases in his body by doing that. He had problem with the diabetes or something like that, right? And he was very proud of his success, you know, how good he was in curing his illnesses and feeling healthy and stayed healthy for long. So when he felt proud all this, suddenly one day something happened and he fell down and broke both his legs, right? So he got fractured and he couldn't walk anymore after that. So he says one day that I ran away from something, but I got trapped in somewhere else, he said. So when you see those things, you can understand how Prakriti works in this world. Prakriti Subhavam. You will understand to a large extent how Prakriti functions, right? So Prakriti by its nature, it's a independent power it is. Maya or Prakriti, it's an independent power. That is the reason why it's called Maya. Prakriti is an independent power. That's why it's called Maya. Our Ahankaram won't allow that to accept that. And we will keep on pushing against that. And then suddenly one day when you're completely down, then you will realize all your efforts were a waste of time. That will take some time. Initially, your Ahankaram won't allow. You will fight against it with your willpower and the ego, everything. I know what's good for me, and you will make decisions on that basis, right? So Maya is a very independent power. She won't allow you that. And if you try to bring Maya under your control, she won't. She won't come under your control under any circumstance. For some time, like a ball, if you kick, it will go into the high, and then it will come back, and then it will bounce again. Maya is like that, right? So, and if you try to suppress it, it will come out somehow, somewhere else, in some other form. So, Prakriti, you cannot fight. That's the first lesson Krishna is saying here. The reason why Krishna says these things is, understand Prakriti properly, first of all, before dealing with the Prakriti. Prakriti is an independent force operating here called Maya, and the only way if you want to escape from Prakriti is to know the Purusha inside, and knowing the Purusha and your Swarupam and remain free from Prakriti that way, unaffected by the Prakriti, by realizing your Swarupam. This is the solution to the problem. Trying to fight Prakriti will not work. Rather, if you know your Swarupam as Purusha and realizing that, and that way become free from the grip of Prakriti. That's the only way you can solve the problem. That's what Krishna is going to say now. All other methods won't work. Fighting Prakriti won't work. And in order to free from Prakriti, Krishna is saying, you have to develop that Vairagyam. And Vairagyam means this, that you realizing that understanding Prakriti in its real nature, Prakriti's nature, and leaving that Prakriti in that way is called Vairagyam. It's called Vairagyam, right? So, and this is what Upanishads and Vedantam, everything follows this path, right? So, in this chapter, Krishna is going to say that Vairagyam, in order that Vairagyam to develop, Vairagyam means, becoming free from attraction to other things in this life. Other things in this life, right? Ryagam, able to give up ryagam, right? And there are two ways of doing that. One method is that if you are convinced that this is not the place to be, that means this world is full of miseries. There's a lot of distress in this world. If you have realized it, Vairagyam will come naturally. But you are not realized that. That is why still we will go looking for some happiness here and there. Chasing happiness again in this world is coming because the conviction has not come inside that there is distress in this world. That is one method. That getting convinced that there is suffering in this world and I will not be able to stay here happily. This is not the place to be. This realization has to come. Saying is no good. It has to become, one has to get convinced on that, in which case Vairagyam will come. You will be able to give up a lot of things in this world with that knowledge. with that knowledge, if the knowledge goes in. Otherwise, he'll be keep continuously chasing it again and again somewhere. So that is one method. The second option is, if you have developed a sufficient bhakti inside, vairagyam will come. These are the two options. One, if you have realized that there is a lot of distress in this world, and this is not the place to be, to survive here, all other plans you will be able to give up. Vairagyam will come to you, natural way. The second option is, if you have developed a sufficient bhakti into Krishna, you will be able to have vairagyam from that, due to bhakti. Right? So, and this second method is a better method, because the other one won't come. You will be keep chasing it for the rest of the life. Till you fully down on the bed, you won't accept that. Totally feeling helpless, only at that time you'll open your eyes and start thinking, why did I do all these things? What did I get from that at the end? Yeah. So, in Bhagavadam, that is why Gopi said that. Gopi said, like, itara raga vismaranam nranam, adara viranam. When we have, in the Gopiyagiram, you'll see that verse. That the idra raga vismaranam nranam, because of ragam towards Krishna, attachment to Krishna, we have developed vairagyam inside. Gopi says this. Idra raga, 31st chapter, 10th canto, 14th verse. So, idra raga vismaranam nranam, adhara vira sa adharamrtam. So, because we got attached to Krishna so strongly, that due to that taste, we lost our attachment for home, family, everything. All of them has gone from us. We have lost all interest in all such things, says the gopis, right? So, patisudanaya bradrabandava iti vilangere achudaha gadaha. So, Bhagavad Bhakti is responsible, or Bhagavad Bhakti can create vairagyam, provided there is bhakti. But when there is no bhakti, you can't do anything. Bhakti is a very powerful way of developing vairagyam, right? Bhagavad rasam or Bhagavad anubhuti. So, if Bhagavad anubhuti, Bhagavad anandam, or bhakti has come, then attraction for all other things will go. Vishayanandam will leave us, right? Upanishad says, tabdho bhavadi, matto bhavadi, atma ramo bhavadi. Naturally, all our taste for other things will leave us. So, in order to have that vairagyam in this chapter, Krishna is talking about a famous example from the Upanishads, Upanishads Prasiddham, right? And that is where this verse is coming from. The second verse. Yeah. It is Upanishad verse. Krishna has taken it from the Kathopanishad directly to Bhagavad Gita. A tree standing upside down. You can see if you go towards a lake or tank, you will look there if there is a tree outside, how the tree is upside down inside the water. Right? And the reflection, in other words, the reflection of the tree on the banks of the lake. If you look inside the lake, you will see it is standing upside down. Right? So that is what he is going to say. So urdhamoolam athashaha ashvatham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastum vedasa vedavit. Vedam janadi vedam vijanadi iti vedavit. In the olden days, people used to say, many brahmanas who were very proficient in reciting the Vedam, they were called as the Vaidika brahmanas. They were called, some of them were called as Vedavid, right? Vedavid means if you know the Vedam very well, in other words, Vedarthavit, Vedartham. Vedartham means what does it mean, what Vedam is saying, right? Krishna is saying here, if you only have learned to recite the Vedam, just recitation of the Vedam, you have got only a very broad picture of the Vedam, if you learn to recite the Vedam, right? But what exactly is who has known Vedam properly? You see here, Chandamsi yasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavit. So, who is this Vedavit he is referring to? Vedavit is that person who has understood this world properly. One who has understood this world properly. And it is compared to Ashwatham. Ashwatham means this banyan tree, Nashwaha Ashwaha. That's a explanation for that. Shwaha means that does not exist tomorrow. It is there today, but it won't exist tomorrow. Or in other words, tomorrow means it may not be there the next moment. It could be gone. Right? Urdhamulam avakshaka ashwatham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastum vedasa vedavit. Now, if you look into Kathopanishad, this verse what Krishna has spoken here, its full explanation is in the Kathopanishad. The Kathopanishad verse is, Urdhamolam avakshaka esho ashvataha sanatanaha tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadevam amritamuchyade yasmin loga tridha sarve yaduna yedi kaschana edadvaitada. This is the Kathopanishad verse. Krishna has brought that verse here and say that tadeva shukram tad brahmam tadeva amritam uchyade. This is spoken to show the connection of Bhagavad Gita with Upanishad, Kathopanishad and Bhagavad Gita. So this mantra in the Kathopanishad is a, Krishna has spoken in a verse form in Bhagavad Gita, right? And everything what Krishna has spoken is supported by Vedam. Veda Pramanam. Vedam is the Pramanam. Whatever Krishna is speaking, also Vedam is the Pramanam. Vedam is the authority for that, right? So, and many verses in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see that it has come from famous Upanishad mantras that has come to Bhagavad Gita, right? Not independent Krishna statements. You must not think like that. That Krishna is saying this, just like other religions, they will say like that. He says like this, he says like that. No, not in Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma, whether it is Krishna or Ramachandra or Shiva, what they say, it has to be in line with Vedam. Otherwise, Vedam is the topmost authority. So, Esho Ashwatha Sanatanaha, it says, Urdu Moolam Avakshaka. The commentary on this verse in Kathopanishad is Gambhiram, it's amazing, it's famous commentary on this in the Kathopanishad for this verse, right? And Vriksham, the tree means, which you can cut off, the branches you can cut off, right? And this samsaram, worldly existence, that's what samsaram means, worldly existence, living in this world, right? It is presented through that verse in the Upanishad, right? What is this world? This world is a continuous experience of things, what we go through, one after the other, right? And that is the main thing out of our experiences. Out of all your experiences, if you take it, the most important experiences are your birth, your death, your old age, and the disease. That is how Krishna has looked at our life. Krishna is saying that Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi is your problem. All other problems are secondary. What you have created yourself, other problems. There is no other problem, Krishna says. These are your major concerns in life. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi. Right? So, Anega Anarthalmakaha. There are lot of other distresses as well. But in the middle of all that, all the other distresses, he is saying here, people are taking birth and they are dying. That itself is the main distress. Out of so many other distresses, what we are going through here, this taking birth and dying in the between, and lot of things happen, but different kinds of yajnam happens here, and so many, people try to fix this body through surgery, operations and everything, right? And in the middle of all this, some people are giving up their life, also committing suicide. In the middle, same thing, if you observe the world, some people are trying to be happy watching television or serials and entertainment. Everything is going on at the same time in this world. People are trying to enjoy here, people are also suffering a lot here. Right. So, different types of rasas people have, right? And some people enjoy the music, they are dancing with the music and enjoying life that way, right? And so Krishna is saying here, Vedanta Vihita Brahmam, this tree which is like this, a lot of happiness and a lot of distress going on simultaneously in this life here, but predominantly here the problem is this four, birth, death, old age and disease. And to get that convinced also takes a long time. We won't easily accept, Maya won't allow you to easily take that position, because she will completely mesmerize you with her modes of nature and you will get trapped in that and you will follow her. And then when you suddenly realize that, all these things are useless, by the time you come back, it's too late. Time has gone, right? So that is what he is going to say here. There is a sword here to cut that tree, Asanga Shastram. And that is what we are going to see in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, and the nature of this tree is such that if you go and stand near a banyan tree and look at the banyan tree, you will notice this. The leaves keeps on falling from that all the time. There is thousands and thousands of leaves in a huge tree, and the leaves will be keep falling from that, and that is why it is compared. That means its existence is not very steady, continuously in a situation like that, material life, right? That is its nature. So Ashwatha Kalpana, Ashwatha tree, that Kalpana is this chapter. And the root of this tree is upwards. The stem or the main trunk of the tree is in the middle, and the branches are at the bottom. When you look in the water, you will see the branches are at the bottom. And the root of this tree is inside, and the experiences are all outside, or outside. The effect we can see from our own position, if you look at it, right? The results of this Ashwatha tree or the samsaram is all in the field of senses. How our senses are functioning, if you observe that, you will see, because senses are all the branches of the tree which is upside down, right? And the results, what you experience here, is all the result of that, of the what you experience through the senses. For example, Chandamsi Yasya Parnani, Krishna says, isn't it? Chandamsi Yasya Parnani. In other words, Vedams are the leaves of the tree, and not the Upanishad part of the Vedam. The Vedam is the leaves, but not the Upanishad part, but referring to the Karmakandam of the Vedam. So, all the Karmakandam of the Vedam is the leaves of this Samsara Vriksham, or this tree, because Veda Vibhagam, Karmakandam, in the Vedam, he increases our samsara. Karmakandam in the Vedam increases samsara. You may find it very difficult to digest that, because Vedam is not like other literature. It's not like any other scripture. It's different. Samsaram is material existence. Your material existence will increase if you get too absorbed in the Karmakandam. Because Karmakandam, purpose Karmakandam is, the end result of Karmakandam is, it increases your material existence, right? Why? Because in material existence you get a lot of distress. In order to find a relief from the distress, you are taking shelter of the Karmakandam, right? Many things in the Vedic way of doing things, not like the modern method. The Vedic system is that for all your problems in material life here, there are solutions spoken in the Vedam, and that part is Karmakandam. For example, when people don't have children, there are Putragameshti Yagam for that. Similarly, when there is no rain, Adhiratram is there. So different sacrifices spoken for relieving your distress in material existence here. And and even in this modern science, which is meant to help us, all those things are science trying to help us to make this life easier and better. Is it not? That means even modern science increases your samsara, material existence. Just like Karmakandam in the Vedam is there to help you for your material existence to get better. Similarly, even modern science also is to improve our living conditions here. So that is also equally responsible for samsara, material existence, right? So, therefore, they are all considered to be the leaves of the tree, leaves of the tree, right? And the root of the tree, you are not able to cut it off, right? Instead, what we are doing is, within this, for example, just like in the dream state, when you have some distress comes in the dream, right? You try to solve that problem. How do you do? The solution to that problem is you wake up from the dream. That's a solution in the dream, right? So, suppose somebody is dreaming and he is suffering in the dream heavily. Some unfortunate things happen in the dream and he is suffering from that. How do you help him? By waking him up from the dream. The moment you wake him up, he has become free from the problems, right? And our problem is, we are in a dream, and even if somebody tries to wake us up, we won't wake up. And we won't agree to wake up, right? So we want a solution within this, where we are now, within this, right? So that is why, being in the material existence, there is no solution for this problem. You see? And that is why he's saying here that they are all considered to be the leaves of the tree. All the leaves of the tree are the ones which increases your material existence. Material existence, right? So, people who have understood this world properly, able to analyze this world properly, they are the people, Krishna is saying, who have understood Vedam properly. So in other words, this is all depending on your own understanding of the world. There will be very few people in this world who understand the world in this way. Majority of the people will be want to be happy here, somehow or the other. And that will be their priority always. They'll work in that direction. Spiritual life, if it helps them, they'll take it. If it's not helping, that means mumukshatvam has not come, vairagyam has not come, and at the same time finding it, therefore not able to connect with what Krishna is saying. So, so first thing is to study life in this world, right? And you have to study the life staying away from the life, not living in this world, but rather you have to stay out of the life and look at the life back, right? And if you got involved in the life, fully involved in the life, you won't be able to study life properly. If you are fully absorbed in the life here, then you won't be able to study life properly, right? But you have to learn the art of remaining as a witness outside this whole prakriti and able to observe the prakriti as a witness, sakshi. Only then you will know that. So, where is the root of this tree? You can't find it, right? Only thing is, all you can see now is a lot of problems in different ways, right? And you are saying, he is responsible, somebody else is responsible, this, that, various kinds of arguments we put forward, right? And you will notice this in the Bhagavadam, when Bhikshugira was spoken, what he said, right? So, very wealthy person he was, this Bhikshu, and he was not peaceful within. Ultimately, he became a Bhikshu. You know that story, right? How did he become a Bhikshu? Because that is the nature of prakriti. Prakriti has done that to him. He amassed a lot of wealth, but won't give anything to anybody, kept on accumulating the wealth, and finally everything turned against him. So he won't enjoy himself the wealth, and he won't give it to anybody. This was his nature. Right? So what happened? All the wealth was gone in different ways. The inland revenue plundered a lot. Family, some others came and the thieves stole a lot. And then a lot of wealth, family members also took what they could out of him. Eventually he was left alone. That's prakriti. How prakriti works is like that. You will make your plans, prakriti will hit you right in the head, on your head. And then you will realize that all my plans didn't work. So, Bhikshugira is like that, how prakriti works in this world. He worked very hard, he had so much faith in himself, in making money, he made a lot of money, and accumulated so much, but at the end what happened? This was the end result. That the government took away a lot of wealth, the thieves stole a lot, and family members took away everything what they could, because he wouldn't share with anybody, he was keeping himself everything. And at the end he realized it that that's when Bhikshugira comes, is it not? Right? So he won't give anything to anybody. He was so wealthy, but he won't give it to anyone in his place where he lived, right? It is at that time that he comes to his senses. When prakriti hit him hard, he came to his senses, right? So this Bhikshu in the Bhagavadam, right? Ultimately becomes more like a sannyasi. He left home, right? Because of the distress he experienced in life. And when he left home, everybody cursed him. Nobody gave him any, didn't speak one word favorably to him. Everyone turned against him, right? Nobody respected him, nobody cared for him, right? But Bhikshu says, when he came to realize things, he is saying that if they had respected me or honored me, the benefit of my sannyasam would not be there. In Mahabharatam, there is a statement, asammana tapo vriddhihi sammana tapakshayaha. In other words, if you are not honored or if you are not respected in this world, the whole world condemns you and throw you out. Asammana, your tapasya will increase within yourself. Tapasya, that power of tapasya will increase. But if you get recognized in this world and people started honoring you and followers and all that, what will happen? Tapakshayaha. Your tapasya will come down, go down, right? So when he came as a sannyasi, the public threw stones at him, and in his begging pot, Bhikshapatram, people the children pass the urine and threw sand in that, and in that way gave him so much trouble to that bhikshu. We have discussed that before. So, and they took his danda from him, bhikshu's danda. He was a sannyasi, tridandi sannyasi he was. Took his danda from him, broke it into few pieces and threw it away. Because they said he is fake. The people said like that. Gave him a lot of trouble. So even though all these things happened, he was still very peaceful. Bhikshu was peaceful, right? And so other sannyasis asked him, why did this situation happen to you like this? Why did this happen? That everybody has turned against you, right? So he's saying there that I'm not feeling distressed. I am in the samahidam. Samahidam means my mind is in a peaceful state. Already I have learned how to bring the mind back to the soul, antaryami, right? I have realizations about that. Therefore, I don't have any distress, he said. Bhikshu says that, right? Then they said that people are giving you a lot of trouble, right? So he said, they are not responsible for my happiness and distress. Nayam janome sukadukha hetu na devadatma grahakarma kala manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivarteye bhut. Right? So, if they were responsible, first of all he said the people are not responsible. And previously I had my wife and children and I could have lived happily with them, but even in them days I was not happy. Bhikshu says, even in them days, when I had wife, children, and all the money, even then I was not happy. Now I don't have anybody, right? And I don't have any distress either, he says. Bhikshu's answer, right? So sometimes when distress comes in life, people will say like this, right? We hear all these things from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, but when distress comes, we still get anxiety within us. Sometimes people worship the deity at home and big problems happen sometimes at home. And then they will go to astrologer to talk about it. Astrologer will say something and he gets confused. The person gets confused, right? All these things are karmam that can cause different problems inside, right? So, you have developed some faith in worshipping deity at home, and you have deities at home, you are worshipping them, and you are thinking that everything will come peacefully in life, but it may not happen. There will be some crisis will suddenly pop up, and all your faith in the deity worship can go. So Bhikshu is saying here, this is why understanding Shastram is important, because in our little mind, whatever we think is a solution, you will look for that way. But Prakriti won't agree with your ideas. Prakriti won't accept your solutions. Prakriti has her own way of teaching us something. And Bhikshu is saying here that if you have the Shraddha and proper understanding of these things, right, then all these things, what happens in life, is not the ultimate thing. Atyantikam. Atyantikam means the ultimate thing, right? So, that's what it's, Bhagavad Gita, this verse is saying. Chandamsi yasya parnani. In other words, Chandamsi yasya parnani. Bhikshu is saying here, no devata is angry with me. Na devadalma grahakarma kala. Then, planets, they are not in the right position. That's why I have this problem. You know, people go to the astrologers and they will say, you have problem with the Saturn or you have problem with the Mars and things like that, right? So, people come to different conclusions. When suffering comes in life, you are looking for a solution in some form, taking shelter of this or that, right? So, devotees will say, I have offended somebody. That's a devotee's solution. He says, I have offended this sannyasi, maybe it's that coming back to me. Somebody has hammered this into his head, that you have offended somebody, therefore I am suffering in this world, right? We want peace in life, but Bhikshu is saying, na greva dalma, na greha, na karmam, na kalam, none of them, right? So, this is a spiritual science it is, right? And so, Bhikshu has denied everything. He said, not. Bhikshu has denied everything. Na devada, na graham, na karmam, na kalam. None of that, he's saying, responsible. And even if you say karmam is responsible, if you're saying that, then right now at this moment, you cannot live peacefully in this world, right? Karmam is also an experience in this world, right? Karmam, how does it work? Something happened in life, some experience happened in life, right? Bhikshu is saying karmam is not responsible. Bhikshu has gone a little bit more deeper than that. What he is saying is, right, the root cause of all this is avidya inside. Karmam comes later. Chittam was there. Chittam, avidya was there. And avidya is nothing but the mind. Mind is in avidya. So, mind is telling me that sukham, dukham, happiness and distress, this is happiness, this is distress. That is how mind is cheating us. Now, come to that level of realization of Bhikshu, it's not easy to come to that state. So, that is why we talk about prarabdham. So, we are at that level. When you say about prarabdham, you feel some satisfaction. That's something you have done. But because Bhikshu is more realized than others, he was able to go beyond karmam and able to say this, that mind is responsible. That shows that Bhikshu has a very high state of realization. That sukham, dukham, happiness and distress is also coming from the mind. And therefore he blames the mind more than the karmam. We will blame karmam because we are in that level. We want an answer. Why am I getting these problems in life? Prarabdham, we say. Prarabdham also is like that. If you can transcend prarabdham and come to the platform of the mind, then it is not a problem. You will do, but you won't be able to do that. It's not so easy. So, Bhikshu is saying that happiness and distress is also coming from the mind, and therefore, I have given up all of the other things. And Tektva Shanto Gadaha. And that's what Janaka also said. So people, personalities like Janaka, Bhikshu, they have gone very hard in spiritual path, right? So Janaka said like this, by the mercy of my Guru, I have managed by through the process of self-inquiry, he said, I put that tongue and able to take out that mind from inside. Who can do that? In other words, complete control on the mind. Mind is not coming on the way and creating any problem. He says, mind is like a thorn which is stuck while eating. If you got stuck in the throat something, how you can take it out? In the same way, so I have managed to take out the mind from inside, says Janaka, right? So, just like you are having a meal and while eating something went and got stuck in the throat, right? In the same way, and it is difficult to take it out when it got stuck in the throat, right? And Bhikshu is saying there, there's thing called mind what is inside me, I managed to take him out from inside, right? And now what happened? Shanto Gadaha. I become... So, in order to have Shanti, this root of all these problems, which is called the mind, its root has to be cut off. The mind that is inside, its root has to be cut off. So, this material existence, what is called a samsaram, its root is this mind. Mind is the root of that, right? And it is the same mind what we call it as avidya. Avidya is nothing but this mind, right? Avidya means, in Shastram the word they call it as primeval ignorance. Primeval ignorance, right? So, in other words, it makes you to misapprehend the self. Misapprehend the self, right? That means something existing inside separately from the self, Atma, soul, separately from the soul. The mind is a very interesting thing to understand. Where is the mind? Nobody knows. But it is there inside us, independently existing, right? And that mind has come in a person purely because of avidya. It is from avidya the mind is born. So, the deeper the avidya inside, the mind will be stronger. You see, mind and avidya, avidya is the mind. Avidya is the mind, right? And it is from avidya the mind has come. So, Atmeiva idam sarvam. One who has realized this thing, Brahmanishtan, for him there is no mind, which means there is no chittavritti, no thought waves either, no vikalpam, no avidya, nothing there. Right? So, these things is called as jnanabalam, the strength of knowledge inside, when the mind totally disappears. Right? The bodily strength is not useful in this. Bodily strength, a lot of people have got, but that's all useless at the end. Right? Analpavidam, sadhana balashrayedi balam. In other words, one who does not realize the self, antaryami, atma, if he has acquired some strength physically, right, it is not going to help. But he has to do something that how he can develop strength from antaryami. Tad balam hitva vidvan atma vijnanam eva vidusha. So, a learned person, his strength is spiritual strength, knowledge, or the realization of the antaryami inside. So, his power comes from atma, from the self. And that shraddha in the atma, is so strong that you cannot touch that anymore. Because that Atma is perfect, it's complete in itself, right? And its independence, Atma is very independent, and that it's independent, and its very nature itself is strength. Atma's very nature itself is strength. Therefore, through this studying this chapter, Vedanta Vidya, what do we get from this? It is this, that material life, the samsaram or material existence, whatever waves it's creating in us, it won't affect you. If you study this chapter well, it will not affect you from the waves that comes from material life, from material existence, right? To think that I will solve all the problems and I will get peace from that, it will not happen. But even when this wind is flowing strongly from material life, all problems are coming and giving us a lot of trouble, you will be able to remain in that, unaffected by that. That's the benefit of this what Krishna is going to say now. Right? So, we all have the experience of life in this world now, right? And experience of distress coming from life. We all have that, right? And then we have got the Shastram also. So, the distress is in front of us, which is coming on a daily basis in different forms and giving trouble. And then the Shastram is also there to tell us about that. And then what else have we got to do? All you have to do is that there's nothing new to give, right? All what you have to do is that this first thing what you have to take out is this thinking inside us that can I change my way of life? Or can I change my nature? Right? Or can I change the nature of this world? All this misunderstanding inside me. Changing myself is a difficult thing. Changing the world is a difficult thing. Right? And the nature of life also is difficult to change. Nature of life. This material existence, we are talking about samsara. Samsara's nature we have to understand, what we discussed this morning. It is very difficult to change it. Samsaram is samsaram and it will behave like that. To put all the faith that I can change that, that won't work. That is what Krishna's point first, right? So, if this thought has to leave us first from inside, that I can change this world, I can change the nature of life in this world, I can change the body, conditions of this body, and my way of life in this world, I can change the world. All these misgivings in us has to go first. It is not possible. That is the first thing he is making here. So, you know, people go to astrologers and people look for some solutions there. Then they go and do different kinds of methods by which, people who can perform some atonement and things like that. Or they go and take shelter of medical science in this way. We have faith in all these things, that they can solve the problems. It's a false feeling inside that they can alter that. Not that we don't need them, but to put the faith in that, thinking that they will solve the problem, is a mistake. Right? And sometimes temporarily they may give you some relief, but you can use them also, but on an absolute platform, none of these things can solve the problem. Neither the medical science, nor the astrologers, nor the other solutions, whatever we have, family, friends, money, none of them can solve the problem. So, we have to come to terms with it first. That's what Krishna is saying first thing. Till you accept that properly, but if you keep on fighting in the world with all these things, thinking that you will find a solution with the hope, as they say, hoping against the hope, you keep on doing things, it will not get anywhere. So, understanding samsaram is very important. This is the nature of this world. Krishna is saying that, right? You can, that these things may give you some temporary relief, but they are not worthwhile for taking shelter. Neither any of those things, money, family, friends, society, body, medical science, astrologers, none of them. First thing, Krishna is making it clear. You can use them if it gives you some relief, but it is not worthwhile for taking shelter. It's not worth taking shelter of any one of them, right? So, you can use them, but not worth for taking shelter. You can use them, but not worth for taking shelter, right? So, everything what is not Atma, all these things are dravyam or padartham, which is separately from Atma. And you can use them, but not good for taking shelter, right? So, obviously when you are living in this world, everybody will have to use these things, because this is what's available here, right? Just like if you get a headache, you have to take some medicines, tablets for that. If you get hungry, you have to eat some food. And if you want to keep the body fit, you may have to do some exercise. That's okay. But you can use all that, but you can't take shelter of the body. And you can't take shelter of the medicines. You can't take shelter of the food either. Because you can use them temporarily to get a relief from your suffering. Beyond that, they are not worthwhile taking shelter. This principle is important. That if you go and take shelter of these things, this is what happens to all of us now. We are thinking that all these will solve my problem, and that keeps us away from Krishna's shelter. So, shelter is only Krishna, nothing else. This has to get convinced first. That conviction doesn't come very easily, right? And If you have developed that strength to take shelter of Krishna, that is what he calls it as balam, the strength. That is balam, right? So, if you are able to get that strength from Antaryami, Krishna as our very self, right? And that power, that strength that comes from that is not the strength of the body, not the strength of the mind, right? It is the strength of Antaryami. You have to know where the strength is coming from. Some people get the strength from their body. Some people get the strength from their mind. Very few people get the strength from Antaryami. Most of us are in one of the other two. Most of the people have strong faith in their body and its strength. A lot of people have got a lot of strength, faith in the strength of their mind. But they don't have the faith in the strength of Antaryami. And Krishna is now going to talk about that, the strength that comes from Antaryami, not from the body, not from the mind, right? So what will happen with that? You will not happen anything else, that you are, what all what's happening is that you are taking your ownership, what is eternally is yours actually, that is Antaryami. Antaryami is your shelter and that is your wealth. Right? You are not going to get anything because everything what you get, it will go one day. Prakriti is also there at the same time. For example, if what you can get best out of this body is a good health, that health will go. It will not stay. Similarly, with the mind, what can you get? Best what you can get is a comfortable life here, but that will also go. It won't stay. When the health goes, mind also will go along with the health. So, this is something different from the body, different from the mind, but inside us is our very self, right? And Krishna, this is why Krishna put that verse in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter itself. Na jayate, na mriyate va kadachil, nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhoya, ajo nityam shashadoyam puranam, na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Why that verse is so important? To make us aware that Atma, the self, is different from the body, different from the mind, its strength is different, it has no birth, it has no death, and you cannot destroy it either. All those things, right? So, knowing that, Antaryami, and able to stay in that state, then Krishna says here, that is the solution to the problem. Nitya prachalita subhavaha. This tree, what we are talking about, Ashwatha tree, what we have said, right? This Ashwatha tree, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, know this first thing, this avyakta mula prabhavaha, he says. Avyakta mula prabhavaha is the nature of this tree, is avyakta mula prabhavaha. Avyakta maya shakti tad mulam asya idiha iti. In other words, if you try to find out where it has started, you won't know. But earlier we said it started from the mind. Mind you can't find where it is. That is why it is said like that. That you can't find the root anywhere. Why? Because the root is the mind and mind you can't find. Yeah. From avyaktam it has come, right? In Bhagavadam, how does they put that in there, right? Bhagavadam puts it like this. From Mahavishnu's navel, from the Nabhi, came Brahma. The lotus flower came and then Brahma was there in that, right? Everybody knows that. So, Brahma is sitting in the Nabhi or the abdomen, right? From the lotus flower, right? If you ask a question, what is Nabhi, Krishna's Nabhi or Vishnu's Nabhi? Bhagavadam says, Nabha eva Nabhi. That's a verse used in the Bhagavadam. Nabha eva Nabhi. That means Nabhas is Akasham, sky. That is his Nabhi. The abdomen, Vishnu's abdomen is Akasham. Akasham, space, right? So, in this space, this lotus flower appeared. And in that lotus flower, Brahma is seen. Brahma was noticed, right? So, You may have heard this word, that the flower in the sky, Akasha Pushpam, right? That what that means is, it doesn't exist, but we will say like that, Akasha Pushpam, right? The example for that, so the creators themselves, like Brahma himself, right, was given the advice. Krishna gives the advice to him. And you know what Krishna said to Brahma? You don't exist. The beginning is like that. Even you don't exist. That was how Brahma's... Where does he say that? First verse in the Chaturshloki, if you look. Brahma, Krishna is saying, only me exist, you don't exist. What does it mean? It means that, right, Brahma asks a question, who am I then? He says, only if you exist you can ask that question to me. But actually you don't exist. This is the answer was. Aham evasam eva agre, na anyal, na anyal, nothing else exists. Sad asad, or it's me. Paschad aham yadedacha, yo avashishehra sosmi aham. Only aham exists, awareness, bodham exists, right? Only me exists. Me means not the person, he's saying, aham, the consciousness, bodham exists, right? So, Brahma asks a question, who am I? Is it not? That was Brahma's question. Krishna says, why you ask that question? Because you don't exist. You are asking that question, right? And then, you are talking about the creation, right? When you yourself don't exist, what's the question of asking about the creation? Because you are supposed to be the creator. Brahma has created this, right? So Krishna is saying to him that, when I'm telling you that you yourself don't exist, then how can you do the creation? How can you do the creation? When I'm telling you, you don't exist. And then you are telling me, how can I do the creation? How do I create? Right? Then asking me, who am I then? Brahma asked the question, you are me, you are not different from me. Tomevaham mentions there, right? That if you look into the fourth canto, you will find that, the 28th chapter. Tomevaham vijachanabhav. In order to say this, it is for that purpose. Everything is very subtle in the Bhagavadam, as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. Till you touch that subtle side of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, it will look like a... Otherwise, you are just reading verses thinking that it's like a commandment. 10 commandments have come from Krishna. You'll take it like that. It's not a commandment. It is a science of the Vedam. It's the essence of the Vedam, knowledge of the Vedam, spoken in the most subtle level. As subtle as spoken in the Upanishads, Krishna has made it as easier as possible through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. That's what it is. Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita is more approachable than Upanishads. Upanishads is more difficult. But Bhagavad Gita and with the help of Bhagavad Gita is also difficult. Bhagavadam is a little bit more easier because it's spoken through these stories. It makes it more able to connect with that. Right? So, the disciple who is in ignorance, who is not able to understand these things, is saying here, Tomevaham vivakshapo. That Chidram Nadu Mahashasha, a guru is saying to his disciple, between you and me, there is no space. Between you and me, there is no space. There is no two things. Tomevaham, you and me are one, actually. Not the two things exist. That's only a Brahmam. It's only a Brahmam. Right? So give up that Brahmam and then Ekam Evam Adhidiyam Brahmam. Nothing has been created here and nothing is... If you feel that something has been created and something is existing in the creation, all that is same truth. Sachidananda Brahmam is manifesting in different names and forms. That's all it is. Right? And it will appear like this for some time and it will go back and dissolve itself. Otherwise it has no existence. Right? So, So, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, that this root of this tree, as he said earlier, comes from avyaktam. Avyaktam, right? Avyaktam, along with that, the tree has come from avyaktam. And avyaktam has got namarupam, lot of namarupam, names and forms of different names, different entities, right? So one who does not know the root of this, right, egatvam, till one has that knowledge, advaita jnanam, till then he will be affected by this material existence called the samsaram or this tree, and it will come till we realize this, that this samsaram tree will come and create a lot of vigalpam inside us and give us a lot of distress in that way, right? So what he's saying, Krishna is saying, is that if this knowledge has not happened to a person, realization has not happened, what is left out is distress only, what you will get from that, right? The moment we accept there is so many things existing in the creation, and if your mind is absorbed in dealing with this creation, Krishna says, you will be doing it forever. Till you come out of that false impression we have within us, right? You will see in Harinama Kirtanam, all these things are spoken very nicely. When they talk about that Om, how they have, Om is Vedam, has split into the three, and Ananda Chinmaya Hare Gobiga Ramana, that Krishna is saying that all that is Upanishad verses only, taken and brought into Harinama Kirtanam. So this samsaram, this tree, samsara vriksham, asmad samulad, that is the bhashyam, right? Samsara, I am samsara vrikshaha, urdhva mulaha, shruteja urdhva molo avakshakha idhi. Samsara mayamayam vriksham, aho mahadahangara dhanmatradeya shakha, iva asya adho bhavandi idhi sa ayam atashakha tam atashakham. So, where is the root of this tree? Adi bijam, avatara shadeiga bijam, says in the Bhagavadam, in the third canto. Avatara shadeiga bijam means, who is Krishna? Krishna is not, but from source, from there, avatara shadeiga bijam, the root from there, all incarnations comes out. The root of all the incarnations. Avatara shadeiga bijam, right? And that bijam, that is the essence of that seed, and from that billions and trillions of living entities comes in different forms and different species, different male, female, in all different forms, right? And so the first seed has taken the form of the tree, and from that tree millions and millions of seeds have come, and all those seeds that has come from the tree has become another tree, has become another tree. In this way, from one tree, lot of fruits have come, and then each fruit has got millions of seeds in that, and from each seeds, another tree has come. It kept growing like that, in that way. So, where is the root of all these things? And that root is aham, that swarupam. So, swarupam, right? So, this samsaram, material existence, what we are suffering from, material existence, right? It is grown so big that, and this experience of this samsaram is inside us, right? So, and that is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse. Look at the second verse. Adaschordhum prasridastasya shakha gunapravrdha vrishaya pravalaham adascha mulanyanusandhanani karmanubandhini manushiloge adaschordhum prasridastasya shakha gunapravrdha vrishaya pravala അനശ്ച മൂലാന്യനുസന്ധതാനി കർമാനുബന്ധീനി മനുഷ്യലോകേ. ദിസ് സംസാരം ട്രീ, ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് സോ മെനി ബ്രാഞ്ചസ്, ബട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് ദിസ് ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ, സത്വം രജസ തമസ്, ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അറ്റ് ദ ടോപ്പ് ഓഫ് ഇറ്റ്, ഓഫ് ദ ട്രീ, മീൻ അറ്റ് ദ ടോപ്പ് ഓഫ് ദ ട്രീ. And due to that, then all the different sense objects, they are the fresh leaves that's coming out. And with three modes of nature and the sense objects, everything together, it looks like a tree. It's compared to a tree, right? And what happens from that? Karmam comes from that. Karmam? Karmanubandhini manushyaloke, it says. Karmanubandhini manushyaloke. When you have these three modes of nature and when you have all these sense objects, karmam will come from that. And from that karmam, you will get bound. Karmanubandhini manushyaloke. Yeah. So, because of this tree, which is top is the three modes of nature, it becomes the cause of karmam and its roots are spread, going, keep on growing further. The root is inside, right? It's not visible. It's, as we said before, it comes from the mind. When we do karmam here in the world, what happens is more vasanas are created. That means its root is getting stronger. When you keep on doing karmam in this world, you will become more bound with the karma vasanas it creates. And that karma vasana gives strength for the root to become stronger. That means you get more and more entangled in this samsara, in the samsara. That's the message, right? Atho, and therefore the root is constantly growing all the time because of the karmam what is being done here. Atho, manushyadibhyo yavat savaram urdhumja yavat brahmanaha vishyasrajo dhama iti ഏതത് അന്തം യഥാ കർമ്മ യഥാ ശ്രുതം ജ്ഞാനകർമ്മ ഫലാനി തസ്യ വൃക്ഷസ്യ ശാഖ ഇവ ശാഖാഃ പ്രസൃത പ്രകൃത ഗുണപ്രവൃദ്ധ ഗുണൈ സത്വരജസ്തമോഭി പ്രവൃദ്ധ സ്ഥൂലീകൃതാഃ ഉപാദാന അഭൂതൈഃ വിഷയപ്രവാളഃ വിഷയശബ്ദാദേഹ പ്രവാള ഇവ ദേഹാദി കർമ്മഫലേഭ്യഃ ശാഖാഭ്യഃ അങ്കുരീഭവന്തി ഇവ തേന വിഷയപ്രവാളാഃ ശാഖാഃ. Going down means that from human species onwards, all the other species, right? And going upward means that the creation which has come through Brahma, right up to Brahma, right? Up to Brahma's position. In other words, you look at our situation now, we are here. Then there is higher places upwards. Is it not? Brahmaloka, up to the Brahmaloka where Brahma is present. All these are different planes of existence. What we have. Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. In this way, different planes of existence here. And it comes from, according to, based on the karmam what you do in this world, its result and the knowledge that person has, they are all the results of his karmam and the knowledge, all of that is the branches of that tree. And those, they get strength or they get the support from the three modes of nature. Means our knowledge, our karmam, all that is getting the strength from the three modes of nature what we have got here, right? So they become stronger depending on the three modes of nature, which one is affecting that, right? So shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, the five things, is constantly happening in us because these three modes of nature is impacting on it, is through the karma. Through the karmam, it's impacting us. Everything is very subtle spoken in this chapter, right? So, due to the karma, what you have done with your body and the mind, the results have come in a different form in us. How fresh leaves and fresh sprouts from the tree, this tree of material existence, right? That means the three modes of nature has impacted us. Due to that, we have got involved in the karma. Karma and the three modes of nature has created vasanas inside us. Depending on the modes of nature, that type of vasanas that are created. And these are all happening in the subtle level. And vasana strengthens the root of the tree. And apart from that, when the tree roots are getting stronger, the leaves and the branches, everything gets stronger. That means our material existence gets worse. In other words, this is how we are bound here. Krishna is saying that. Yeah? So, and therefore, you are not able to cut off that tree. Because the tree is getting stronger day by day. What we have created ourselves. We fed the tree with the manure, with water, everything. In the form of karmam and the trigunam. Three modes of nature. So this is our material existence. So that's what Krishna is talking about first. To understand the tree means, you know, that when we say that when Krishna is saying understand this world means, he is trying to make us understand why you are trapped in this world, not able to escape from here. Why I am forced to come back here with another body. Why I am forced to go through birth again and death again and then old age again and disease again. All these things, even though you want to get out of it, he said your medication and medicine and all that won't help. Nor your other shelter, whatever you think you have, money, wealth, or your family, or home, or friends, or society, or astrology, none of them can help. None of them can help. He says, you can see how subtle the side is, right? We have done karma. Modes of nature has affected us. And due to that, we engage in so much karma vasana we have created, we got more bound in that. This is our present situation. Krishna is saying, you accept that first. Then we can talk further, he says. Adaschordam prasridastasya shakha gunapravardha vishaya pravala adascha molanyanu sandadani karmanu bandhini manushya loge. In one verse he put that in, very effectively. He put that. How the tree called the samsaram has grown around us. And we are finding it difficult to break away from that. And it is not easy, he said. Adaschordam prasridastasya shakha gunapravardha vishaya pravalaha. When the gunams are stronger, vishaya pravalam will happen. That means your sense gratification and attraction for material life will increase. Vishaya pravalam means that. Attraction for material life is increasing instead of developing vairagyam. It's going in the other way. Why? Gunapravardha vishaya pravala. Gunam is increasing inside us and due to that vishaya pravalam is also increasing. Adascha mulani anu sandadani. You are not able to see the root of the tree anywhere. You don't even know where the tree is coming from. All what you have done is, by your activities, karmam, and through your vasana, you have cultured the tree so strongly, supported the tree, watered the tree, put all the manure for the tree, and the tree got stronger and stronger. Karmanu bandhini manushya loke. And that is what is called bondage. That's what is called bondage. Karmanu bandhini manushya loke. And that's for you have to come back here. Karmam is responsible for human birth. Karmam. Human body is due to karmam. Human body and karmam are very closely connected. Demigods don't have karmam. Devadas. In the higher planets, they don't have karmam. Karmam is only in this planet. Karmanu bandhini manushya loke. Karmam is coming from action. Action causes bondage. Remember, you won't find this in any other places. Lower planets there is no karma. Higher planets there is no karma. Karma is in this world. And without knowing all these things, I keep on doing different things in this world. And if I go take that approach, it's not going to solve the problem. You have to accept what Krishna is saying here. Vedam is so strong in all these things. Even when Krishna says something, he will make sure that it is from the Vedam. That is the authority of the Vedam. No matter who comes here, whether it's Krishna or Ramachandra or Shiva or anybody, when they speak something, the strength is coming from the Vedam. Vedam is the authority. This knowledge, you saw what Krishna said in the Bhagavatam about himself. He said, I'm the only one actually who understands Vedam, he said. And we are the ample proof of that, that we don't understand. Even if Vedam we tell so many millions of times, people won't accept it. They will think that they have their own ideas, that independence in them will make them think. So here, in this verse, that's what he is saying here, right? Samsara, he's saying here, Bhashyam. Samsara vrishasya parama moolam upadanam karanam purvam uktam. Karma ragadveshadi vasana. So karmam, what does it create? Ragadvesham. Isn't it? Karma bhala janida ragadveshadi vasana moolani iva dharmam adharmam pravarti karanani. So when ragadvesham is there, what will you do? You will do some karmam which is dharmam and some karmam which will be adharmam. Both are binding. Dharmam as well as adharmam, both are binding, right? Pravarti karanani avandara bhavini tani atava deva dabekshaya moolani anusandadani anupravishtani karmanubandhini. Karma dharma dharma lakshanam anubandha paschad bhavi yesham ulbhudim anu ulbhavadi iditani karmanu bendini manushyaloke visheshada atrahi manushyanam karma dhyara prasiddha. He says that he spoke about the root of the tree, right? And he also spoke about ashrayam earlier. Due to ragadvesham that builds up inside, which comes from karma. Karmam result is ragadvesham, vasana inside, right? And due to that, you will do different types of karma. Sometimes of them are dharmam, some of them are adharmam. And this tree has become grown in that way, right? Because the human species, he says, he keeps on experiencing the results of his own karmam, and he continues to follow that route of karmam and getting the results from that. It is so embedded inside that he may perform dharmam, he may perform adharmam, but the results will keep coming from that. And only, he says, this is only for the human species. So when Krishna talks, he treats us as one species only for him. For him, we are one of his many creations, isn't it? Out of many species, we are one species. Devadas are another species. Vidyadharas are another species. Charanas are different species. Gandharvas are another species. Tapasvis are, and Rishis are another group. Like that. Yeah. So he's saying this karmam is for the human species. And they get bound in this way. Karmani bandhini manushya loge. He said that. So, and this tree, what he is talking about, right? You can understand this, each of these verses requires a lot of reflection on that. You have to spend a lot of time thinking about it. And if it changes your way of thinking, it helps. But if it is not your way of thinking and you are still doing the same thing what you have been doing all along, then it hasn't helped you. Bhagavad Gita is not of any help. Bhagavad Gita expects us to understand things in the proper way and able to change our way of thinking. Otherwise it is not helpful, right? So, he's saying, first coming to this, in the next three verses, that means second, third and fourth, three verses, he is going to talk about the same thing, in a different way, right? So, look at the three verses. Atashyordam prasadastasya shakaha, guna pravardha vishaya pravalaha, atascha moolani anu santhadani, karmanu bandhini manushyaloge. Then, narubam asyeha tadobilabhyade, Nando, na chadir, na sa sampratishta. Ashwathamenam, suvirudhamulam, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Tadapadam dal parimargidavyam, yasmin gada non nivartandi bhuyaha, tameva chadyam purusham prabaddi, yada pravarti prasada purani. So, this creation, this manifested world, is difficult to understand, Krishna says. Because that's Prakriti, that's Maya. And life also, we have no proper understanding what this life is about. You ask anyone, what is this life is all about? You will ask 10 people give you 10 different answers. Is it not? There is no one answer, precise answer about this life. Nobody has found out the answer about life, what this life is about, right? So, if you ask this question, ultimately you will have to agree with this one thing, what Krishna says, is that everybody comes here, suffers a lot, and then they go. One day they say goodbye and leave this place, right? In other words, it is a trap, you are in a trap where there is no escape route. Because after suffering a long time here in different ways, at least if you know that you are going to a better place, there is some relief. Even that you don't have any guarantee where you are going, isn't it? When you leave the world, I came here 50, 70, 80 years, suffered here, and I don't even know where I am going, and I have gone from here. This is life. So, in this background, what will you say about the life? All of us, we are all in the same situation, right? So, that is why, one thing we know, you come here to suffer only. The enjoyment all is, you can just forget it, it's just illusion in the bhranti in the head. Come here, suffer a lot, and then go from here. In between, like a chocolate, you will get one or two things here and there. That's all. After that, it is continuous misery in some form. So, Krishna has hammered this very strongly. And these people find it very difficult. Why? Because they have no faith in the Vedam, first thing. They have faith in their own mind. That's where the problem is coming from. If you have faith in the Shastram, you won't be thinking that way, in a different way. In the past, people had that faith in the Vedam, authority of the Vedam, right? Vedam tells you, you have come here, you will suffer here. The place, that's very nature. And Krishna has also taken the same position. Told us, janma mrutyu jara vyadi, that's all what is on offer here. And if you think that there's a lot to enjoy here, then wait for some time till you get it. Till you get that dosage. And then one day you yourself will come up with the answer. So that is why rishis never pushed us to accept any knowledge. They left it to you. From your experience you learn. And then you come to the right conclusion. Till then we will wait. There is no rush. That is why Arjuna, Krishna also said to Arjuna, is it not? Don't be in a rush here. Yathechasi tadakuru, he said. You do what you want. And then one day you will come to understand what the nature, whatever I have spoken to you. Right? So samsaram is saying here, first line itself, adasya urdhum prasridas tasya shakaha guna pravrdha vishaya pravalaha. Right? In other words, this tree, its branches are going upwards and downwards, right? Some of the branches are going downwards, some of the branches are going upwards as well, right? Just like the tree, the roots of a banyan tree, how far it will go, you cannot say that, right? And it will be everywhere, all around, right? Similarly, this ajnanam or avidya, which is the root of this, it is, you cannot know how far it is spread. In each of us, this avidya, what is inside us, how far it is spread, we cannot know it. How deep the avidya is inside, right? Because it is avyaktam, Krishna says. Guna pravrdha vishaya pravalaha, right? And what else he is saying here? That it is very deep rooted inside, rudha moolam, right? So, the example is this, that people generally think, that I will solve all my problems first, get my family settled, and my pension comes in time. Let me organize my life first. When everything is sorted out, then after that, I would like to live peacefully in this world. When you start thinking like that, what happens? People who have little bit insight into it, you know. It is like that banyan tree. If you cut the branch, cut the stem, it will come out again in some other form. And that's what Krishna is saying here. That just like it keeps coming up, in the same way, in this samsaram, you will never be able to settle down. You try to solve the problems and try to think you are going to be peaceful here, Krishna says, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Continuously, fresh problems will come, and continuously, distress will come from that, right? And these things, without saying, we all know that, but we won't accept it. Our ahankaram inside won't allow that. It will keep saying, oh, I'll sort this out, I'll sort that out. It's just like the war going on. Where is it going to end? You think there will be any solution? There will be no solution. It will continuously keep on fighting, meeting, fighting and meeting and making resolutions, and they'll go back and then they'll come back again for another meeting and then again they'll fight it. So this way, that is the nature of the pragriti, right? So in the same way, the best example they give is like this. Banyan tree is somewhere else. You have got a well at home. Its root has come all the way from the tree right into your well. And sometimes what happens, in the well you have created, with the bricks you have built its walls all around, isn't it? So when the root comes, it pushes the bricks into the water from inside, right? So the bricks have fallen. So once the bricks fall, the well can collapse. It can collapse. So when you notice that the root of the tree had come, and that's what has caused the bricks to fall into the water, you start thinking that I'll cut the root of the banyan tree, and then you go back and cut the tree itself. This is how it is. In the villages, you can observe all these things. They'll cut the root of the tree, thinking that it won't happen. But why? You completely kill the tree, so that it won't come back and destroy your well, right? After 4 days, you look again in another place, the root has come out. This is the banyan tree. And that is material existence. Material existence is compared to that, right? One problem comes, you try to solve that problem, another one comes in. Next one, right? And if you try to somehow suppress that or destroy it, another one will come. Another one will come, right? So, in this way, he's saying here, this tree doesn't finish here. You may think it is over here. No. This very same tree, it may take you to the heavenly planets sometimes. And then, from there, you will fall back again. It may take to the hellish planet sometime, and then you may come back to this earthly planet again. All that is a part of this tree. You go up because of karma. You go down because of karma. But karma happens in the earthly planet. Karma anubandhini manushya loge. That's what this verse is all about, right? So this tree, what we are talking about, it's not only in this world, it is also in the higher planets, and it's also in the lower planets. Is it not? Because karma is taking us there. It is a part of the tree. Karma is the root behind it. So karma is taking you there as well. Karma is taking you to the lower planets also. That means the tree extends itself to the higher planets as well as to the lower planets. Yeah. So suppose you went to heavenly planets. Krishna is not very fond of these heavenly planets. We think heavenly, a lot of people are happy if they can just get to heaven. They say, spiritual world and all is too much for us. But if we can get to heaven at least the next life is guaranteed. Krishna's point is that when you go to heaven only, you will realize the problems there. What goes on there, he's saying that. Even Lord Brahma has got problems, which is even higher than the heavenly planets. Even Brahma has got problems there, right? So this is the reason when Jivan Muktas, liberated souls, they don't talk about Brahmalokam or heavenly planets. They have no interest to go there either, right? And at the time, for the highly realized souls, Jivan Muktas, right, the demigods will come to visit them. Indra and others will come to visit them. Initially, when they come, their purpose is to create block for them, for the liberated souls escaping from here, from this world, from samsaram. They don't like us escaping from, because devadas are also in samsaram. So they don't want them to escape. So first of all, they will put obstacles in their path. It is there in the mention in the Bhagavatam. Andarayam it's called. If you look in the 11th canto, 29th chapter, I think, 28th, I think, it is talking about it. Andarayarna vihanyase, it says. Andarayam means they're putting obstacles in the liberated soul's path of escaping from the from this samsaram. Right? So they will try that. Why is that? They are envious. Because what they couldn't get it, these liberated souls succeeded in that. They got managed to get free from this material existence, right? So therefore, they will try to come here and they are, because they are unhappy about that, they try to disturb their, somehow or the other, draw them back into the Maya again, right? And when, if they don't succeed in that, in getting them back into Maya, what they will do is, they will show a lot of humility at that time to the liberated souls, and in that way, they will try to get the way to escape from this world. They will take their shelter, in other words. Jivan Muktas, or liberated souls, when they are in this world, devadas come to create problem for them first. If they don't succeed in that, what they will do is, they will become very humble and try to see if they could help them, for them to escape, for devadas to escape from here, right? So, and right up to Lord Brahma, all other devadas below him, they all try to do that, right? Who says this? Puranam says this. Puranas are saying like that. Because they don't have it either, escape from this, right? They are also got these higher planets, Urdhva Logam, due to their karma. They got there, to that position, right? There is distress there as well. So, similarly, when you are experiencing happiness, that is also another type of frustration it is. Happiness is another type of frustration it is, right? When we say like that, you may think, what does it mean? That happiness is also frustration, right? You see, we have desires to enjoy happiness to come, right? You will notice this, that when a lot of happiness, why do people commit suicide? Sometimes you have seen, right? Lot of these wealthy people, they are not getting anything from that, from the wealth. And sometimes life ends up in terrible disasters for them. Yeah. So, whereas this is accounts, statistics says that the amount of suicides that happen among the very wealthy is more than compared to the people who are living in the forest, aborigines. They don't commit suicide. Have you noticed that? If you look at them, they have nothing much. They live day-to-day basis, whatever money they get. But they are not committing suicide. Why is that these people who have got so much wealth, if wealth was the answer, in spite of that, they go and commit suicide? Why does that happen, right? So, most of these problems related to the mind, which is the root of avidya, is more in the developed society, in the world, whereas aborigines don't have mental problems. They are more peaceful with the nature, and they are able to adjust with everything, with the situations, right? So, the reason is that everything has happiness comes from that, right? For example, if you keep people on the platform of senses, if you keep everybody in the platform of senses, it is actually a heavy torture for them. People who live simply on the sensual platform, they get tortured by that. They cannot handle it. At some point in time, they'll break. And that's when it happens. You can notice, if you see in the newspapers, you will see this, right? So, and if you can see that, if you extend this class for a long period of time, After a few hours, you will also get fed up. You can't handle it anymore. Why? Because whatever happiness you may get from hearing this, right? After some time, when the time comes to sleep, you will fall asleep. You lose your strength, right? And when you finish everything and go to sleep, you feel some relief. You feel some relief. What is the reason? Because right now, you are also in the field of senses. In the platform of the senses, right? So, it is, because you are hearing it, senses are active, and you are processing inside the mind. It's not on a spiritual platform it's happening. We know that, every one of us, right? It's completely with the mind and intelligence and the senses, right? So, this is all a total estrangement from the real self, right? We are not on the real self, so anything that is done, not with the self, but estranged from the self, right? That means you are taken away from your own source, the real source, what you are. And when everything is done like that, you will start realizing that the whatever you may have in this world at the end of the day, you may have all the best music, best dancing, everything. After some time, you want to withdraw from this. That is the nature of sense gratification. Any amount of sense gratification you get in this world, you are not going to be happy. Because if you keep people in the platform of senses only, all the time, giving them all the sense gratification and opportunities for that, one day they will crack, they will break. We'll continue after a few minutes. Cheto darpanam arjanam vomahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipadapurnamradaswadhanam sarvatna subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahudha nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida svaranena kala edadrishitava kriba bhagavan mamabhi Durdaivamidashamiha janinanuragaha Trinarabhi shunijena tarorabhi sahishnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam najanam nasundarim kavidamba jagadishakamai Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavadal bhaktirahai dugitvai Ainanda danuja kingaram padidamam shame bhavambhudav Kripaya tava padabangaja sthitaduli sadasham vichindayam Nayanam galada shudharaya, adanam gadgadarudhaya gira, pulagayar nijanam gadava bhotavanna magrahane bhavishyati. Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam, shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe nami. Ashlishyava padaradam vinashtumam, adarshanam armahadam karyoduva, yatha tadava vidada dulambado, malpranasa sunayevana para. Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Adashyordam Prasivadastasya Shakhaha Gunapravardham Shaya Pravalaha Adashyamulaninu Sandadani Karmanu Bandhini Manushyaloge. So, deep sleep state is a natural way of experiencing Brahman, Brahmanubhavam, in a natural way, right? So, but when it happens in a natural way, that is not helping us very much, in the sense that if that we only want to get to know from the deep sleep is that there is a state like that, that existence of a realized state without the body, without the mind, without the senses, without ahankaram, one can exist. That knowledge you can get from the deep sleep state. So, but it is coming in a natural way for us. If you are able to create that state in the vacant state, that experience, what you are having there, right, consciously able to do that, then it is Brahma Sambhati. That is Brahma realized state, that is, right? So, That means through knowledge and realization to get to that state of sushupti. Therefore, reason that it is Brahman realization, it is Brahman realization, but you are not knowing that in the deep sleep. The reason for that is there is avaranam there. Avaranam is still there, right? And even though you are in that state, you are not able to know that you are in that state. Even though you are in that state, you are not able to know that, right? That you are Brahman, that realization, that state you are experiencing, but you are not conscious that you are Brahman. That's the problem with the sushupti. In sushupti, if you think about it, you can see that. In sushupti, you are experiencing the what you are experiencing as a Aham Brahmasmi stage. Unaffected by the body, unaffected by the mind, unaffected by the ego. Pure anandam, Sachidananda state. But, unfortunately, you are not conscious of that. Consciously you are not having it. It is given to you through sushupti, by the nature, by nature's arrangement, right? And that is the reason when you wake up from deep sleep into the vacant state, you are not aware that you are Brahman in that deep sleep. That Aham Brahmasmi you are experiencing, you are not able to say anything about it. Because you are not aware of that. You pass through that, but you are not aware of that, right? On the other hand, a realized soul who have come to that state through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam process, right, and got established in the self, he will be very conscious of that state. He is fully in that state and fully aware of that, which doesn't happen in the Sushupti. Though Surubanishtam, for them there is no doubt anymore, who have realized it through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, who have realized that, they won't have any doubt about it. We, even though we have gone through that state, when we wake up in morning, we that state is not having any impact on us. That we never knew that it was the Aham Brahmasmi stage. All you know is there was some happiness, that's all, when you came out. Right? So, whereas the realized soul, even when they come out from the Sushupti stage, they are still in the experience of that state has not left them. They still have able to get it, right? So this is the difference between sleeping Sushupti and Nirvikalpa Samadhi. This is the difference between Sushupti and the Nirvikalpam stage, right? So Samadhi, there are many types of Samadhis, right? Nirvikalpa Jnanam, Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. Through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, you get Nirvikalpa Samadhi, right? And the what has come through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, it is not giving you anything new. It's not giving you anything new. In Sushupti, what you have gone through in your unconscious way, you got it. In a natural way, what you got it, right? And there is sleep is there, unconsciousness is also there. But what you have done actually is through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam process, that happiness what you experience in Sushupti, you become conscious of that. Conscious of that, right? So sleep, Nidra, what it does is, unconsciousness is the result of Nidra. You understand? In Sushupti when you go, why are you not able to, even though you are experiencing it, it is not registering it inside. Sushupti, you are experiencing Aham Brahmasmi state of freedom from the body is a big thing, isn't it? Freedom from the mind, freedom from intelligence, freedom from senses. Freedom from ego. You have become completely free from all the upadhi. All the upadhis you have become free. And that state you have really enjoyed, which you accept, that it was a happy state, freedom from all these things. But you are not able to say anything more than that about it. That's all you are able to say that, right? And when you become, wake up You've fallen back into the old state again, with the body, mind, senses, everything. Right? So, one thing you learn from Sushupti is that such a state does exist. Freedom from the body, mind, senses and all. A state does exist. Right? And it's already there in us. That is why it was coming in the Sushupti. It was already there within us. And that cannot be created by anybody else from outside, by a guru or by a Ishvara even. Antaryami alone is responsible for that, right? And so that happy state is already there in us, and the happiness that you get from that is also there, right? So when we get to know that such a state exists, and when you take that covering off from that, then you come to that state where you can experiencing it continuously without any interruptions. And that process is what Krishna is going to talk about. Without vichiti. Vichiti means interruptions. How to transfer the experience of that Sushupti into vacant state. We are at the moment, we get the state, but we don't know anything more than that. But through Shravana Mananam Nididhyasanam process, the realized souls, they have come to that state. And what else has happened is that when you come through Shravana Mananam Nididhyasanam process, the avaranam, the covering which was there, has gone. When the covering has gone, then you realize that this state of existence of Sushupti is available to us. Even that state can be brought into vacant state. That means the three modes of nature is not creating it anymore. Three modes have gone, withdrawn from you. And you have got back that from the Antaryami. Antaryami has revealed to us that it is he who is controlling everything. So all these realizations comes at that stage in the Nirvikalpa Samadhi, right? So the problem is that we want it back, right, that state, but the main block of not able to get it is our whole Shraddha was taken away from us, attention, by the life in this world. That's where everything went wrong. Whole life, we got so implicated in this life, in this, what we call samsaram. Samsaram took us away from that realization, making us our own. Instead, trapped us, means our Shraddha has fallen into this material existence rather than self-realization. That's the problem, right? So, and this, it has got so much power. Which one? This samsaram. Samsaram has got so much power. That is what he is saying in that second line, if you look. Guna pravardha vishaya pravala. That's what that line is saying. Guna pravardha vishaya pravala. It is so powerful that it did not allow you, even though you got an opportunity to get that back state. Even though you got the opportunity, you couldn't utilize it. You got trapped in this. So, what he is saying is, this sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, it will keep coming one after the other. It will keep on coming one after the other, right? So, when sattugunam comes, you will feel some happiness and you will go and get attached to it. When Rajogunam comes, you will get busy with the karma. You will get attracted by karma, you will go after that. And when Tamogunam comes, you will fall depressed and you will go to sleep and get attracted to that and fall into that. So these three modes of nature, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, is keeping us completely under their control. Under their control. So, none of them, neither Sattugunam, nor Rajagunam, nor Tamogunam,
will help you for self-realization, for experiencing the self, right? Just like someone who is watching a lot of TV, he saw a lot of TV, lot of films, serials and everything, then a lot of things have gone inside him, right? So even at that time, the mind, instead of getting attracted to the Antaryami, right, these things what he has seen in the movie or the serials will keep on running inside him. And he will get trapped there, right? So Patanjali calls this as vritti sarupyam. That's the word he has used. Vritti sarupyam means how our life in this world has gone inside us and created chittavrittis inside, and you have become part of that. It is a difficult thing that we think spiritual life is all easy and it's in our control. It is not. Till we become free from Krishna, what Krishna calls it as this samsaram, there is not much hope to getting out of it. Yeah. So vritti sarupyam means whatever life we lead in this world, live in this world, the thought waves that it has created inside us, all the thoughts due to our life in this world, and you become identifying with that, is called vritti sarupyam. All our vyavaharams, all our lifestyle and kind of things what we do in this world, it all creates chittavrittis inside. And you become identifying with that. That's called vritti sarupyam. Patanjali calls it as vritti sarupyam. And the same thing what Krishna is saying here. This gunapravrtha vishaya pravala is referring to that vritti sarupyam of Patanjali. Right? Just like vishaya pravala means, suppose you have seen something interesting for you, a film or some movie, whatever it is, and you, what is happening is, you are becoming that, right? And that is what is called vishaya pravala. Vishaya pravala means sense objects getting attracted to it and you becoming that. Vritti sarupyam happens with that, right? And that is the greatest obstacle for realizing the self, right? So when you see a lot of things in life, different things, people are busy with loads of things, all of them is inside them, right? So every time when he gets to make contact with different sense objects in different ways, right, what will happen is that he will take that form all the time. That person will take, his mind will go along with that, and mind will be filled with those thoughts, and he becomes that, in other words. He becomes that, right? Suppose you get angry, you take that mode, angry state, you come to that state, right? Suppose you're watching a serial, something like that, the different scenes in the serial will come inside, and you will become that, identify with many of them, right? Suppose you liked some person in the movie, then you have become that. That liking, disliking, all turns at that, right? And you'll be thinking about that person whom you liked in the movie, right? So, in other words, all the time, you are not as you are, yourself. You're not in the self. You're all in all these different vrittis. These are all chitta vrittis, right? Suppose you think about someone in a bad way, then you have become that person. If you think about someone in a good way, you have become that person. But these are all, your chittavritti is making you to identify with different entities. And that's called vritti sarupyam, right? So in this way, prakriti, the three modes, is continuously flowing in us. Sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, one after the other. And based on these three modes, what will happen to us is prakasham, pravritti, moham. That means when sattvagunam comes, some attention you will feel like towards spiritual path. Little bit attraction for spiritual path will come when some sattvagunam is built up inside, comes inside. And then when rajagunam, that is why it's called prakasham. Prakasham means the your attraction towards the self-realization, spiritual path, these things becomes a little bit more prominent within. If Rajogunam comes in, action begins straight away. Get attracted to karmam, right? Pravarti. And when Tamogunam comes, falls into tremendous illusion altogether. Too much illusion in the head of life. Complete illusions starts working, right? So, so what will happen is, either you are spiritually attracted, effulgent, or you are workaholic, or you are gloomy, depressed. This is Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam does to us. Right? So these three radiance or gloom, radiance or work or gloom, these are all the effects of that, these three modes. And they will keep coming one after the other. Right? And this is what Krishna is called the Gunapravardha word. Gunapravardha means the three modes of nature playing with you. Sattvagunam generally don't come very easily. Mostly it is Rajogunam, Tamogunam. They are the dominating forces here. So when Rajogunam comes, immediately we swing into action. When Tamogunam comes, you feel depressed. And sometimes some Sattvagunam comes, you feel like going to Satsangam or chanting the holy name. For some time, it stays like that, right? So, but Krishna's point is, none of these three will give you shanti, right? Because none of them are permanent, that's the problem. They'll keep coming and going all the time. And even meditation, if you do, even there you don't get it permanently, that state, right? For example, when you do meditation or you're chanting the holy name, one day you're feeling good, another day you're not feeling that good, as you felt the other day. When you were chanting, you felt one day comfortable and peaceful about it. Another day when you are chanting, lot of emotions, thoughts comes in, and the chanting is not working, they say, then. So people notice all these things, is it not? Right? So, one day you got it, next day you didn't get it, right? Similarly, bhakti also. One day you felt very devotional. You feel, oh, Bhagavatam is all making sense. Bhagavad Gita is beautiful. I am taking Krishna shelter. Krishna is everything for me. You say like that, right? But next day, the whole thing has gone. The whole thinking has changed completely inside, right? So, therefore, what they say is that, because of this nature in us, the modes of nature is is coming in like this, you are not able to do your sadhana also properly. One day you will do sadhana in a good way, next day your sadhana is all gone. And then you have to wait till the next moment comes, the sattvagunam comes, so you can do some sadhana. Doing sadhana is not easy, proper sadhana to do it, right? So these are all, when he is doing sadhana, he gets some happiness from that. And say he wants to do some sadhana, say time, particular time, say 4 to 6 in the morning or 6 to 8 in the morning. Sometimes he has decided, I want to do the sadhana. But you are not able to do it. At that time something else in life, some modes of nature has come and that has completely derailed the whole thing. So. And then when you are doing sadhana, you are just doing it as a show. It's not having any effect. Right. This happens to everybody, right? So, and that is because of the sattvagunam. Sattvagunam, when it comes, it will keep you in the direction, right? For example, when you feel some attraction for spirituality and to engage in spiritual life is due to the rise of sattvagunam inside, right? And all these things happens to the realized souls as well, jnanis also, right? But the difference is, when sattvagunam comes, or rajogunam comes, or tamogunam comes, they are capable of distancing themselves from the three modes. which is a big thing to do, and that takes time to sense it properly. When Satugunam comes, that it is Satugunam, and to be careful even then. Similarly, because Satugunam brings happiness, and you will get addicted to that happiness from the Satugunam. Rajogunam drags you into karmam, action, and then nobody can stop you. As Krishna says, that Rajogunam is so powerful. And Tamogunam comes, is hopeless, gone. For quite a long time, you could be there in that. So, that is what he is saying. Adasya Moolani, he is going to say that. Adasya Moolani Anusandadani, the third line. Adasya Moolani Anusandadani. If you look at it from the spiritual platform, this whole thing, right? This is a higher frequency thing, right? That means more and more these things will happen in our circumference. Antaryami is inside, but in the circumference this is happening all the time, right? And therefore, karma anubandhini manishya loke, it won't let you go easily from that, right? Wherever you go, what will happen is some karma will come and it will bind you, put you into bondage, right? And with the karma, you will get more and more implicated in that, and in that way you will be more driven into the samsara, more driven into the samsara. And you can see this even those who have come to the spiritual field, even those who have come to the spiritual world, right? They will do a lot of effort to propaganda and all that, institutions, and then they will wander around all over the world to keep the institution going. So what happened now? They fell into the same trap like anybody else, is it not? These are all funny ideas in the head that you can change this world. Krishna is saying, that's not your problem, that's my problem, how to run this world. It's not your problem. But we won't accept that. We have all these illusions in our head. Just like we think about our body, it can be fixed. All problems can be fixed with this body. That's what we think about it. But over time, what do we know? We realize that it cannot be fixed. There is no solution to the problem. It is going its own way. So this illusion, first Krishna says you have to get rid of. That you can change this world. You can change your happiness in the family life. Or you can change your prarabdham. And you can change the body conditions. All this illusion you have to give up first. If you take shelter of that, you will be disappointed at the end. That's what this verse is talking about, basically. But Krishna has put it in a very refined way. Adaschordam prasadastasya shakha gunapravardho vishayapravalaha adaschamulanyanu sandadani karmani bandhini manushyaloke. Right? Wherever you go, the karma will follow you and it will tie you down. And with the result that you can see. And there is no easy way to get out of this maya. There is no technique or any special ways to come out of this. There is no way. Krishna is saying that. Karmari bandhini manishyaloke. So, if you try to leave material existence, what will happen is, you will go there and you will get more implicated into the... That's what he is talking about. We notice this in spiritual field as well. You have seen some of the spiritual leaders, how much they are messed up their spiritual life, so called. Only the dress is there. Inside is all plans and disturb. Where is the understanding of self-realization there? They are busy with complicated, they have got completely caught up in their own web they have created around them. They are bound by that. Yeah. So, similarly, if you try to get out of this samsaram, right, wherever you go, you cannot do anything, right? even if you do a small karma, even that karma can multiply and karma will create a big space around it, from that, right? So, that is why it was mentioned, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Sannyasa lakshanam is jnanam, knowledge, right? So, what is the nature of knowledge? Nature of knowledge is that ultimately it will destroy everything else, even karma vasana inside us. It will destroy that, right? So, sannyasam is basically is the symptom of knowledge. That means you are able to become free from everything. Or sannyasam is jnana lakshanam, or jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Either way you can say that. Both are meaningful, right? Sannyasi's lakshanam, what is that? That he wants this knowledge of the self. That's what he wants it, is it not? Otherwise, what's the point in taking sannyasam? Self-realization, in other words, right? How will you know somebody is a sannyasi? Only you can see a sannyasi and accept him as a sannyasi depending on his state of self-realization. How far he is free from the body, free from the mind, free from the senses, and how much is he closer to the Antaryami. That is how you decide about a sannyasi. Is he in the sannyasa ashram or not? You cannot take a sannyasi seriously just because he has got a clothes on, or he's got a danda in the hand, or he has got a new name because of that, right? So, Swarupa Anubhavam, Atma Jnanam, or Jnana Nishtha, and that is the symptom of a sannyasi. Swarupa Anubhavam, Atma Jnanam, or the Jnana Nishtha. If that is there in a person, how will that come out in the form? He'll be free from karmam. He'll withdraw from karmam. And he will have such a high degree of vairagyam in him. But when you don't have any of these things, he's not much different than anybody else. Another letter, he says, for the jnanis, not non-essential. In other words, from that sannyasi, all what is not essential for his self-realization will leave him, one after the other, right? Jnanam, the nature of jnanam, jnanam is against karma. Karma virotham it is. It is against karma, right? And gradually what happens is, when jnanam builds up inside, he will kick out all the karma from inside. Karma vasana is leaving him. That's the proof of that. Karma, vasana for karmam leaves him, right? And all attraction for karmam goes away from him. And that is why Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Senadi Gacchadi, in the 18th chapter, you will see that statement. Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Senadi Gacchadi. When you come to that state of Naishkarma Siddhi, complete freedom from karmam, Naishkarma Siddhi, is the state of sannyasam. Krishna has defined it in the 18th chapter. Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Senadi Gacchadi. So, the name of knowledge, spiritual knowledge itself is Naishkarma Siddhi. Naishkarma Mabhi Achyuta Bhava Varjidam Bhagavadam says that. Na Shobade Jnanam Alam Niranjanam Kudappuna Shashada Badram Ishwari Na Hyarpede Karma Yadapyanuttamam. Twice Krishna has said that in Bhagavadam, right? So what will happen is, if proper sannyasam comes in a person, you will see that he is becoming free from karmam. One after the other, karmam is leaving him, right? So somebody asked the question that is it possible to leave all the karmam? It's right. If you are fully matured in sannyasam, if you are matured in sannyasam, it will happen. But if you are not matured in sannyasam, even if you give up, the karma won't leave you. That's how powerful this binding is, karma is, right? Suppose you have become pakkum, matured, then even if you even if you run after that, right, you won't get it. That means the connection with the karmam is completely broken. In the matured state, suppose in sannyasam if you have become fully matured, in that situation, even if you rush after karmam, you won't get it. You won't be able to get attracted to karmam. And this, just like that, that's why they give this example, this coconut. When you scrape the coconut, right, little bit it will stick to the shell, isn't it? But when the coconut is fully dried, it separates itself from the shell. And if you shake it, you will see the sound from inside, right? Similarly, when does karmam leaves a person, right? When ahangaram completely goes away. As long as there is ahangaram inside, karma will be there, right? So, once ahangaram completely leaves a person, ego, in other words, ahangaram completely leaves him, and when he is fully established in the Brahman, Brahmanishta comes to him, then he is like pure gold. He's like pure gold, right? And with pure gold, you cannot manufacture jewelry. This is another side to it, right? Similarly, one who is fully established in the self-realized state, he will be useless for karma. When one is fully established in the self-realized state, he cannot do any karma. You will have to force him to do it. And even if he wants to do his swadharmam, he won't be able to do it. Right? Because kartrutvam is not there, bhoktrutvam is also not there. These both have gone. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning Krishna has spoken, what does world means? These four things. Ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutva. That is this world, what is inside us. Not the objects what you talk about. Objects doesn't mean anything. Objects are affecting us in these four ways. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, ragam, dvesham. If these four things have gone from inside, then you are free from the three modes, you are free from this world, even though your body is here. That's the point here. Yeah? So, therefore, even if he wants to do swadharmam, he won't be able to do that because he has no kartrutvam and he has no bhoktrutvam either. He has become free from all that. Therefore, he won't be able to do any vyavaharam either in that state. So, then the question will come. Many great personalities, they have done some karmam, haven't they not? And if you closely watch their karmam, if you look into their karmam, you will see that they have not done any karmam. What actually happened was, karmam happened around them. They did not do it themselves. It happened around them. And that is only a niyati. Niyati means it's only a destiny that has happened. So, it is difficult to understand these things because we are people who are bound by karma. And a person who is not controlled by karma, what his state is, what Krishna is saying in that Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Sanadi Kachari, Ajari Swami also says that. He says that they will be like these cyclones and they may do something if they want. Or you can say something like the rain lightning, which comes and goes like that, in that way, right? Their activities is not like others' activities in this world. Why? There is no involvement in anything. And they will remain simply as a cause behind everything. And the best example is Krishna himself. Krishna himself, right? In Mahabharata war, if you look at Krishna's role, if you carefully look at it, he was not a part of the war. He was driving chariot for Arjuna. He spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Apart from that, if you fully look at Krishna's role in the Mahabharata war, he just sat there driving the chariot. Wherever Arjuna says to him, drive the chariot, he will drive the chariot there, right? But all things, the war happened in his presence. This is how a liberated soul will be. Action will happen around him. He will be only a witness to everything. And he remained as a charioteer whole time, and the war happened in his presence. War has not even touched him in any sense. Least. Okay, when you read Mahabharata, you will start thinking, oh, Krishna also got involved. When we talk the story, we will say like that. Bhishma made the promise that, he gave the promise to Bhishma that I won't get involved. But then he took the disc in the hand and went after Bhishma and all that. That is mentioned in the Mahabharata like that. But the way to understand it is that Krishna knows fully well the end result of the war, even before the war happened. He is fully conscious. These things are happening as a part of the Leela. That's all it is. But from the spiritual platform, if you look at Krishna, he is like a liberated soul, what he is doing there, right? And all great personalities are like that. I know it will be difficult for us to, in our present state, to understand all that, right? What Shastram says is, their presence is sufficient, is necessary, right? And Prakriti will do everything else for them. From that you can understand that. Krishna's presence was sufficient. Prakriti has done the rest of the things there. Why we get this confusion, you know? Because we are seeing Krishna as that person who is doing everything. If you understand Krishna properly, Krishna is aham, that Brahman realization. He is not affected there at all. The form may be doing different things. Form may be doing different things. Mahabharata war was happening. The form was a part of that in some times. It looks like that. But unaffected by everything, that Sachidananda Brahman remained aloof from everything. Because in that state, Prakriti does everything else. Brahman doesn't do anything. Prakriti does everything. So that is what he is saying here, that their presence is sufficient. Krishna is Sachidananda Brahman. The presence of Sachidananda, Prakriti carried out all the activities, right? So in the same way, among realized souls also, who are in that state, Naishkarma Siddhi, who have got the Naishkarma Siddhi, they will do Pravarti, but Pravarti, we may think that they are doing it, but it is, they are, Prakriti is doing it for them. That we won't be able to notice it. We won't be able to see that. And they are always situated in that realized state, Naishkarma Siddhi. They are in that state, right? And therefore, even the karmam happens around them, even if you misunderstand that they are doing the karmam, it does not have any impact on them. And there will be no interruptions in their dealings in this world, right? In other words, the karmam of vacant state, or the thoughts or the dreams in the dream stage, is not affected, any of them is affected by the karma. By the karma. In other words, their knowledge is such that deep sleep state, sushupti, or even if they become unconscious, right, none of them will have any effect on their consciousness of the self, self-consciousness, right? Suryuba pratya, or they call it as Altma Pratya, will not be touched by any of those things, right? And that means they are fully know who they are. Do you know what I'm saying? That today we are thinking we are this body, isn't it? We are thinking like that, identifying with the body. We don't know who we are. Antaryami is saying to us, Krishna is saying, Bhagavatam is saying, Bhagavad Gita is saying, everybody is saying we are not this body. But in realization, what is in reality, what's happening? It is only a theory only for us now, that I am not this body. Not able to stay in that state, not being the body. In their case, they feel no connection with this body whatsoever, nor with the mind, nor with the intelligence. And they will never think that they have anything to do with this body. They are able to remain in that state of consciousness where they are able to realize they know who they are. The difference is that they know who they are, we don't know who we are. This is our present state, right? So in the realized soul, it is like that. They will not be affected by that. This verse is talking about those who are not in that state. Yeah? You have to remember, this verse is talking about those people who are not in that state. That's what he's saying here. Adashchordham prasridastasya shakha guna pravardha vishaya pravala kathascha mulanyanusandadani karmani bandhini manushya loge. Ordinary people. who haven't risen to that level, right? So, in the human species, if you do a karmam, it won't finish with that, because that karmam will create another karmam, which we know very well. It's not difficult to understand that, right? You know how it is, isn't it? Family life you start, you got a wife, then children comes. When children comes, then their problems. And then their children comes, and then their problems. Like this, one to another, it will keep on growing like this. And that's what he's saying here. Adashyamurani anu sandhadani karmani bandhi. This is how we get bound in this world. And same thing with everything else in this world. Body, if you take the body for example, you get sick. You go to the doctor, he sends somewhere else. And you go to him, and he says somewhere else. And it will keep on growing like this, one after the other. No endless. That is the very nature of karma, is like that. Karmani bandhini manushya loge. Every karma, if you take, it is like that. Any karma, it will not finish. It will keep on and on and on and on, one after the other, right? Just like they say, you know, the people who are into making money, they say, money breeds money, they say. Have you heard that? Money breeds money, they say, yeah? So, similarly, action breeds action. It is, that's the nature of action, right? One karma will not finish with that. It will keep growing. You can see in spiritual life, that happens to many people. You'll start one project, and then a lot of people have come, and you join them, project is growing, then you're thinking, where should be the next one? Then you need more people to start the next project. Then after some time, just like a big corporation, how he expands its corporation activities, opening up many, many branches and many, many managers, in the same way, the spiritual institution also becoming like that, day by day. More and more growing branches, more and more new recruits, and that means the top man will have a lot of headache, because he has got more branches now to look after, and more branch managers, and more people to report, and more problems from that comes to him. So what spiritual life is he having then? He'll be busy with this karmam that has driven him in all these different fields, right? So it will keep going like that, and it will end up, and that is what is called karma kalapam. Karma kalapam it is. Karmam, you can't change the nature of karmam. Karmam by the very nature, it is like that, yeah? And it will not be, you will not be able to keep it in your grip. You have seen this, I mean, I don't have to say this, you can look at yourself and see what I'm saying is right or wrong. The nature of karma, many of these great souls who are claiming to be great souls, they all get involved in karma, and then karma controls them. They get involved in karma. They don't have any time for reading Bhagavad Gita or thinking what Krishna is saying. They are busy with their karma. Karma keep on expanding, more followers, and more show business goes on in a big way, and we call this all spiritual. What spiritual is that? What does it got to do with spirituality? Spirituality is understanding what Krishna is saying there. Vishaya pravartha, karma, guna pravartha, vishaya pravala. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. And people get carried away by this, all these things. It's a hell it is. Actually, the whole thing is so misleading, and people get trapped into all these things. This is the unfortunate situation, right? So, karmam, very nature it is, it will bind you. And in that karmam, what you do, there will be dharmam and there will be adharmam. Some other may be okay. Some other karmam what you do may be good. But there will be a lot of bad things also will come from the karmam, right? And both are bondage. Dharmam and adharmam. Just like they say, pious activity and sinful activity, both are bondage, is it not? So one is a golden chain, the other one is an iron chain. That's all. So normally our nature is, we try to untie the iron chain. Golden chain, we don't want to leave it, we want to keep it. Because it's gold, isn't it? That's the difference, what is Krishna is saying here, right? So, so if it's a golden chain, we will say, leave it like that. Iron chain, you may. So when you start trying to do something good, you will get into bondage, right? And there is a songs about that from the devotee. Tukaram sings about this, how he got entangled in life, with his own life, how he got entangled, right? So he says, people told me you have to do good things, seva you have to do. And doing seva, I got entangled, he says. We keep on saying seva, seva, seva. And they did so much seva, he says, I got into trouble with that, right? One mother, she couldn't walk anymore. She was old, right? And she wanted some oil for her cooking or from body purposes, right? And far away from where she was living, in a shop, they were selling oil. So our Tukaram wanted to help her. So she went and got the oil and gave it to her, right? And the oil what he brought from the shop and gave it to this mother, it was not getting finished. It kept on, you know, it stays like that. It was never getting finished, right? So that mother told somebody else that it is like that. That Tukaram, if he buys the oil, it never gets finished. They sell it. So what happened? A lot of people have come to see Tukaram. And they all want Tukaram to buy the oil for them. And they started with a pot in the hand. They were queuing up outside his house so that Tukaram could give them the oil. So that is how Tukaram says, if you try to do something good in this world, ultimately it will all end up like this, he said. So next day he says, I had to go with all these pots into the shop to get oil for everybody. So even if you do good things in this world, sometimes it is bondage. And if you do wrong things, also is bondage. So good or bad, whatever it is. You know, this social service. Social service is a bondage, basically, right? And so therefore, Shruti says, one should be tasmal jagrada jagrada. Upanishad says, tasmal jagrada sagrada. Shruti says, after getting that, being conscious of that, uttishtada jagrada. Like in the Kathopanishad, you remember that famous verse, Shurasya dhara nishidam durateya. Yeah? That you have to remember that spiritual life is like walking over the edge of a sword, sharp edge of a sword, right? And sometimes people will say, you are a very good person, right? And people who hear that, they feel happy that somebody is thinking of me in a good way, right? And then what happens when you try to do something good, others will exploit you. Karmani bandhini manushya loke, right? So both good karmam and bad karmam can cause problems. Therefore, Krishna is saying that you have to do swadharmam without kartratvam. That is Krishna's solution to the problem. In other words, you shouldn't do others' karmam. Swadharmam you should do, but you should do it without kartratvam, right? Yogastha Kuru Karmani, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, right? That karmani, sodharmam, without sodharmam, what is sodharmam? It is one's duty, sodharmam. That alone should be done, no other karmam. If you extend your karmam into different levels, in different activities, and to keep it all on your shoulders, that is not instruction from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has not said that, right? What Prakriti has given you as your karmam, and that karmam itself is a problem. What Prakriti has given to you, that karmam itself is a bondage. What we have to learn is the science of becoming free from even from that karmam, right? Only then, Krishna says, Naishkarma Siddhi will come. That jnanam, which is naishkarma siddhi, will come at that time. The method for that is to be very alert while doing karma, right? It is difficult to stay without doing karma. It is a difficult thing, but you have to be conscious for what karma you have come to this world, to do whatever karma you have to do in this world, and that prarabdham has already put you into that situation, to do a particular karma. And it is difficult to escape from that. And that has to be done. If you don't do it, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that it will force you to do it. Remember what Krishna told Arjuna, right? Yad ahankaram ashritya. If you look in the 18th chapter, Krishna said that if you try to run away from karma, if you try to do that, that also won't work. He said, 59th verse, 18th chapter. Yad ahankaram ashritya na yolsyam idi manyase. Mithyesha vyavasayase prakritistam yokshadi. You see, Krishna is recognizing prakriti. He is saying to us, if out of your ego, if you decide, I won't do the karma, if you think like that, that's also not going to work. Why? Prakriti will force you to do the karma. Prakriti will force you to do the karma. And we will also come to realize that if you say, I won't do any karma, I will withdraw from that, it won't work. When Arjuna decided to do that and wanted to walk away from the battlefield, right? You think he won't be able to do that? He won't be able to do that. He will not be able to do that. He will create another war somewhere else, right? So, prakriti, nobody can deny prakriti. Nobody can deny prakriti. Prakriti is our second nature, as they call it, right? But you have to know the nature of prakriti, what it is like. And if we have developed attachment to karmam strongly and taking pride, ahankaram from that, abhimanam from that, what it will do happen is, it will tell you to do a lot more karmam than before and you will keep on working in that way. So that is why he said that. Karmabhi asat. One has to be very alert about this. The one that everywhere it is said, what binds us to this prakriti is karma. What binds us to prakriti is karma. Right? So therefore, jagrat asmal, jagrada, jagrada, it says. Right? And so, one way of escaping from that is through the bhakti. Kayena vacha manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakriti svabhava. That svabhavam according to the prakriti, if you do that, karodi yadyal sagalam brahmai narayana yadi samarpayami. If it's done for Krishna's pleasure, to keep, please Krishna happy, and please in that way, and make it bhakti. That is bhakti. So, if you do like that, a lot of the problems of that karma will go away. Not 100%. Lot of will go away. But still it will bind you. So, the first thing to know is that karmam has got a field. And there is no technique. No technique available to escape from karma. To escape from karma. Right? You can use any other technique, yoga process or any other process. Nothing will work and allow you to become free from karma. That's all like bathing with the soap in the same way, right? Karma comes in front of you and stands there, right? And unless you are able to get over that, any other spiritual sadhana process will not have any work, any effect, right? So, you know that in Bhagavad Gita, basically what Krishna has spoken is two things. One karma, other one is jnanam. Bhakti is not a topic discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. You may wonder why I'm saying this. If you have properly read Bhagavad Gita and thought through it, you will see this. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam, Krishna said in the beginning itself. Is it not? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Krishna has recognized these two things, jnanam and karma, right? Logesmin dvidha nishta, pura prokta, logesmin dvidha nishta. Yeah. Logesmin dvidha nishta, these two nishta, pura prokta mayanaka, jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam, that is Bhagavad Gita. No matter whatever others say, you won't be able to accept that. It is difficult. Bhagavad Gita is saying is, Logesmin, he is starting like this in the Bhagavad Gita. Logesmin dvidha nishta, these two nishtha, pura proktam ayanaka, from time immemorial, Krishna says, this is what it is. What is that? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Jnanam and karmam, right? So, in the physical plane, it is karma yogam. And if you come, go on beyond than that, if you have gone beyond that physical plane, then you are able to simply become free from karmam, then jnana yoga. Then jnana yoga, sankhyam. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. All other acharyas have accepted that, and on that basis they have their commentaries also, right? So in other words, if you have gone beyond this karmam, field of karmam, karma yogena yoginam, if you have gone beyond the karmam, then you are qualified to inquire about who you are, what's my identity, spiritual identity, right? And jnana vijaram, atma vijaram, you can do all that. And so, then there won't be any problems, right? So either you can completely absorb in the karma, or you can completely absorb in the jnanam, jnanamargam, right? Once you come to the karmam, that means you are in the prakriti's mandalam, in the prakriti, in the hands of prakriti, right? And when you are in the hand grip of prakriti, if you don't execute that karmam with alertness, jagrada, you will be in bondage. That is the principle behind it. You remember why Krishna is talking chapter after chapter in the beginning about karmam, is it not? Because karmam is the main entanglement in this world. If you are able to come out of the karma, then you have escaped a bigger problem. Then all what is required is jnana yogena sankhyanam. So, if you have not done that, it will create bondage, and which means that you won't be able to finish it. It will go from one to another, one to another. Whether you are in the spiritual field or you are in the karmi world, whatever it may be, right? And if you try to finish one, there will be something one after that to do, right? And some people will say, I'll finish up with this project. That's the end of it, right? And will say, oh, when I finish all my duty, I'll go to Rishikesh or Haridwar and I'll sit there and fully practice in spiritual life, right? But duty will never finish, first of all. Duty will keep on growing one after the other. So, Ashtavakra Maharshi says, the duty is called as Ghora Martanda. That's the word he has used for that. You will see that Ashtavakra Gita, if you look, they will see that in the, he says there, that the, he uses that word, Kartrutva Dukha Marthanda Jwala. Kartrutva Kartavya Dukha Marthanda Jwala Dagdamdra Altmana Krita Prashama Piyusha Dhara Saramrade Sukham. This is in the 18th chapter. Ashtavakra Gita says, Kartavya Dukha Marthanda Jwala Dagdamdra Altmana Kuta Prashama Piyusham Dhara Saramrade Sukham. You know, this kartrutvam, I am the doer, it is what is, we call it as duty, is it not? What is kartrutvam? Kartrutvam is nothing but what we call as duty. I have to, this is my duty, people say very strongly. If I don't do my duty, who else will do it? So that duty is talking about, Kashtavakra is saying, it is like the heat at the middle of the day when the sun is right in the middle. In the sky, right? And a jiva who is suffering from that, the only solution for him is to become free from the kartrutvam, right? You tell him that, be peaceful, don't get affected by this karmam so strongly. How is that possible? Because he is thinking, I have a lot of karmam to do, and I have a lot of things to do in this world, and And thinking like that, he is going on and day, day after day. And one day, he dies and he goes from this world. Right? So many people say like that, don't they? They say, once my duty is over, all my family responsibility is all finished, then I will retire, they will say. And then I will purely only spending all time in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. I will not doing anything else after that. I have never seen one doing that so far. You also must have seen that. People will say like that, once my family responsibility is over, then I am free. Then what I will be doing is only spiritual life. I may go to Himalayas or Hrishikesh or Haridwar or somewhere like that, and I will be completely absorbed in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But this thing called a duty never finishes. It goes on and on and on and on, right? So, in the meanwhile, he dies and he leaves this world. The man leaves this world, right? So, Yama Dharmaraja, don't wait for your duty to finish. This is the problem. Yama Dharmaraja is not going to wait for your duty to finish, right? And for him there is no such rule. He is not bound by such rules, right? And he won't be checking whether your daughter got married or your son got employed or settled in life. All these things is not in Yama's calculations. Yamadharma's calculation, right? So, therefore, when should one take to spiritual life and Krishna consciousness? Here, now, not tomorrow, right? Otherwise, what is the result? What Krishna is saying? Karmanu bandhini manushya loge. You have only that option left. That's the only option what you have, right? So, karma won't finish here. Does that mean that you shouldn't do karma? No, that's not what he is saying here. Karma will happen on its own. You are not the one who is doing the karma. Prakriti is doing the karma. Remember? Prakriti kriyamanani. We are not able to come to terms with those verses, do we? We keep saying verses, but we are not able to accept it. If you say that verse to somebody, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. Famous words in the Bhagavad Gita, right? They will say to you, you can say all that. If I don't do it, who else is going to do it? They will ask the question. That will be the straight answer for that verse. So what does that mean? That means Bhagavad Gita has not affected us. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. The same message what Krishna is saying here is in that verse. Three modes of material nature is doing everything. Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. Due to my ego, false ego, I am thinking I am the doer. Kartaham iti manyate, is it not? So, Prakriti is doing that. But then you have to think like this. How does Prakriti do things? Look at our own body. Blood circulation in the body. Who is doing that? I am not doing that, but it is happening though. Is it not? Within this body, the blood is circulating. Similarly, digestion is happening. Who is doing that? Prakriti is doing that. To come to accept what Krishna is saying, it's a difficult in the beginning, but then you have to look at various other things as well. Evacuation happens in the body. Who does that? Prakriti is doing that, right? The twitching of the eye, who does that? Prakriti does that. Similarly, our breathing, who does that? Prakriti does that. I am not conscious of any of these things, what's happening in my body. So who is doing that then? That is Prakriti's arrangement. So Prakriti keeps all the living entities with its bodily functions. It is able to control that. Prakriti is able to do that. Without your knowledge, blood circulation, similarly breathing, similarly evacuation, similarly digestion, all these things are happening in your body under Prakriti's control. Is it not? Under Prakriti's control, it's all happening in this body. But when karmam comes, I am thinking that I am in charge. This is the problem. It is not easy to get out of it. It's a fact, right? So if you are not identifying in that way, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, why and leave that consciously to that to take it that if all these things are happening under Prakriti, and if you are not taking the responsibility that I am the doer from the karmam, then all actions also are not yours. So these two things are happening in us, right? If you look at every one of us, you will see there are two sides to it. One, conscious action. The other one, unconscious actions, what's happening within us, natural activity, like these things, digestion, blood circulation, breathing, evacuation, all these activities are unconsciously happening in this body. You are not taking any responsibility for that. Every time if I breathe, if I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to breathe now. No, it is automatically happening within us, is it not? In the same way. So, so how the natural activity, they are all natural activity. Nature is controlling them. So how the natural activity, how it is natural, coming from the nature, in the same way, the conscious activities, what we do consciously, is also coming from the nature. And that is what that verse is saying. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. All these things require thinking, analyzing it again and again, and come to agreement with Krishna, what Krishna is saying. Otherwise, all these verses have no meaning. It is just verses, that's all. So, that is done. Conscious activities, what is being done is by the nature. Nature means, it is coming from the Antaryami. Antaryami is driving that, right? Not the nature. Your Antaryami's original nature is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swabhavam, right? And that's what is doing there. So, that is Brahmam. Antaryami is Brahmam, right? Purna Vasu. And not to get carried away by the activities done by the body, mind, intelligence, senses. All our activities, what is happening through all these things are not our Swarupam, but all that is happening because Antaryami is behind that. That is why it is happening. These actions are happening. Knowing that, one should remain in the Shanti state. Yeah? And that is that state what Krishna is talking about. What Krishna is saying there, that when karmam happens through body, mind, senses, intelligence, everything when it is happening, knowing very well that all that karmam is happening in the presence of Antaryami. Just like when Krishna was present in the battlefield, in Krishna's presence, Mahabharata war happened. In the same way, in Antaryami's presence, karmam is happening through this body. That relationship has to come into our understanding. So, if you are in that state, in that awareness, sohamasmi, in that case, then you can execute your sodharmam in that level, and gradually karmam will happen in its own way. Of course, this is it takes time to come to this, because we got confused, we got used to the other way of thinking. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. That is completely driving us, right? So, these karmam will come in you and will leave you without causing any problems. If karmam happens that way, that karmam won't cause any problem. And that technique is what Krishna has spoken in that verse. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Do you remember that verse there? Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. He is saying there. In the third verse. Narupa masyeha tadopha labhyade. Nando na chadir na ja sampradishta. Ashwathamenam suviryudamulam. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. This is what that asanga shastrena dridhena chitva means. That asanga shastra means this. That a karmam happening in the presence of Antaryami, karmam is done by the prakriti, and you are not taking the ownership. That I am the doer is not there, has gone completely from a person. When that I am the doer has gone, then karmam is happening, and that is what is referred to in this verse. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. So we'll stop there today. We'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.